Who's afraid of summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
All right, 609. Hi, welcome. And it's show number 1328, also known as day 13 of my cold. I don't know about the rest of you, but if you got this cold, and I mean this cold, the one that everybody's passed around, I thought I was over it in the first weekend, and then it kicked back in, and, I still feel like, a big steaming pile, you know what I'm saying?
But you look good, Steve.
You do.
My dad has that same cold, and yesterday he said at 11 a.m., he's like, okay, it's finally gone, but then at 3 p.m., it came back with a vengeance, you're not alone in your symptoms.
I don't get it. So I'd like an answer from someone at 312-981-7200. Am I looking at 6 months, 5 months? How long is this going to last?
It's the wave pool of colds. So if you know the wave pools, like at the Dells, where every 5 minutes it turns back on.
I had mine for about a week. Hey, maybe you should take a polar plunge. Maybe that will get rid of it.
That could do it.
You know, more and more, there seems to be an effort by you to kill me. You keep coming up with suggestions to try to end me.
Shock your system.
Yeah.
It might work.
Yeah, it's a reboot.
I think we should go the jaw route again and punch you in the face.
It's a lot of anger on this show.
We could bring Sandberg's sister back in.
There you go. Katie'd be happy to treat
Steve
again.
She'll probably, she'll beat out a cold.
What's the need for all of you to put pain on me? What's this about?
We're just trying to cure you.
Yes, we're trying to heal you.
Are these homeopathic cures that I'm not familiar with?
Yeah, cure.
Untested.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
You tried orange juice, Steve?
I'm sorry, what?
Orange juice?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Familiar with orange juice.
Tea?
Zinc?
I have an apple every night. So far, it hasn't kept... Well, it's kept the doctor away because I haven't made an appointment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
What about the zinc? I did the zinc.
I do the zinc.
Pretty good. You got to take it at the beginning of a cold.
Got to take it early.
Yeah. I'm giving blood today. Maybe if you give blood, that would help.
Again. kill me. Take my blood.
I'm just trying to think of things.
Vampire.
Matzo ball soup.
Ah, that would be a good, nice thing, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so enough whining for me. Let's start this show. What are we
doing? From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men.
All right, might be an odd item to start with, but I think people are finding out. Alex Trebek has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's a sad development, from a guy that's been remarkably healthy his whole life, but, cancer doesn't care.
I have to say, his video he did with on the Jeopardy set where he told people was so classy and so emotional. Like, I had a little tear in my eye, just the way that he... told his story. Like, he did it like a game show host.
Oh, he said, because he's always been so honest.
Yeah.
And then I like at the end when he said, and I have to do these shows because my contract goes
another
3 years.
In it? Yeah.
And none of the staff people laughed because I think it was hard.
Yeah.
But he was trying to make a joke.
I just have to say, I don't think there's any responsibility for him to have to go on TV and talk about his health. That could be a news story, and no one would say, can't believe he didn't record something.
Oh, some would.
Yeah,
some would.
I guess, but admirable
story,
for him to do
that. The story I've heard, too, overnight is that his staff, a good portion of staff, didn't know. So they found out when he was recording it. They didn't know what the video recording was supposed to be.
Wow.
So... but God bless him. Good luck, Alex Trebek. And he's planning on fighting it right to its finish.
Yeah, he's 78, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, looks good, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. He does. Very handsome man.
Next, Tony Preckwinkle got the endorsement of a couple of prominent African-American politicians. Secretary of State Jesse White and 27th Ward Alderman Walter Burnett are both in. Willie Wilson is the big one.
That's Friday.
And
tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
It's a weird time. He's doing it at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, it's the end of the workday.
Yeah, I know, but that's where you bury
kickoff happy hour.
Yeah, that's where politicians put stories to die. They put out the pasture at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's it's a different vibe. But
well,
I mean,
it may
means...
take all weekend to translate what he said. So we may not know if the endorsement is still Monday.
I wonder if this is some sort of indication of which way he's leaning, because these are prominent African American politicians. Jesse White, of course, he's one of the highest ranking African Americans in the state. So it's interesting to see that they went for Tony Preckler.
Next, R. Kelly in jail again, $160,000 in child support. No word if that mystery fan will pay his bail again. He's going to need 10% of that to get out. That's 16 grand.
In the piece, there's two things that were interesting. One, he asked the judge if he could pay $60,000 down and do a payment plan.
60?
Yeah, he only had 60, so he's like,
but wait. You need 10% of bail.
No, for the actual child support.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
It was a child support hearing, and it's closed to everybody, so it's just the family in there. And he said, I'll give you 60, and we'll do a payment plan. And the judge said, no, we've already gone through this. This is the third or fourth warning, you're out.
They don't mess around with child support. I know, because, you know, we have a child support situation. Everything you buy asks you about your child support.
Really?
And if you're in good standing, like everything. It's hard to become delinquent in child support because they come after you.
Usually it's off of checks.
Off your paycheck,
The other thing, which was a little bit awesome, I don't know if you saw this viral video, where the lawyers and the people were talking about R. Kelly going into jail in a scrum at the Cook County, at the courthouse. The guy just walked through the press conference. Did you see this video? There was a guy who walked through live. Just a guy. He had nothing to do with it.
Walked in front of the podium?
He didn't have his ID, so he couldn't get into where he had to get into. And there was no podium. They were doing like a scrum kind of thing.
Okay.
But he just chose to walk right through. He had a blue jumpsuit on and a hat, an L.A. hat. And he's like, excuse me. And the guy's like, hey, man. And the guy swore. He dropped the F-bomb like three or four times because he got mad at the representative for R. Kelly for blocking his way. But it was all live on national TV.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. It was a very cool Chicago moment where this guy's like, I got things to do. I got to go get my ID. Look it up online. It's hilarious.
Next, Chance the Rapper, another famous hip-hop artist, helping the Supreme Court better understand rap lyrics. The rappers filed a brief in the Supreme Court to help overturn the conviction of a Pennsylvania rapper who threatened police officers in one of his songs. This is a big free speech case.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that goes. Next. President went to Twitter to denounce the DNC's decision to not participate in a Fox News debate in the upcoming 2020 presidential election. I will give you more than even money that they will change on that. The DNC says Fox is partisan, and that's part of a big Jane Mayer piece that came out this week in New York that shows Fox is partisan, and we were all stunned. I don't know if you had a feather to knock yourself over.
I was clutching my pearls on that one.
Trump threatened to not participate in other debates as punishment. So obviously, once again, count on the grown-ups in Washington to be grown-ups.
Radical far left is what he said in the tweet. That's the new branding of the Democrats. The radical far left.
The socialists.
The socialists and the fake news outlets. We'll see what happens when I don't show up for those.
And
those debates, can I just add, the debates are sometimes the highest watched programs highly rated.
They'll absolutely do the debates. But, you know, it's a good thing to throw out right now. And finally, the Bears have a new kicker.
Right.
The Bears' new kicker's name is problematic. This is a guy, you know, if you go through a whole season and the season ends poorly with your kicker, Corky, hitting the upright, Corky the kicker. You know Corky?
Yeah, I do, Steve.
Yeah. Corky hits the upright to end after he hits the upright four times in one game early in the season. It was great Kevin Butler put it. I said, Kevin, I don't remember you hitting the upright four times at all in your total career. He goes, including high school and college. So what is the name of that new kicker?
His name is Chris Blewett, Steve.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Blew it.
You knew it when you...
Right.
Well...
I heard yesterday the Sun-Times hired four new headline writers to get ready for this new season.
Oh, they're going to have so much fun.
Oh, what a shock. It didn't go through it. Looks like our new kicker, Chris, just blew it. Anyone?
You should put that on a t-shirt right now.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be the guy for the record.
He's just a guy they picked up.
I don't think this is going to work out.
I'm sure he's heard them all before.
Pittsburgh kicker?
He kicked for the Panthers. His senior year, he was 10 for 17. That's not exactly...
Anyway, what a terrible kicker name.
So why do we sign him then?
Well, Bob Usuck wasn't available.
He's a girl kicker.
He got through tryouts as the cream of the crop.
Yeah, he went to the Coles kicking camp, and he won the kicking competition. So the Bears were interested in Blewett. Yeah, I don't know. I just his best year at Pitt was when he was a freshman. He went 14 for 18. That was back in 2013.
Well, look at you with all these college stats. We just care that the kicker's name is Blewett.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going deep and dark.
I love it.
Blewett.
Like he's not going to make the team. We're like, I hope he doesn't make the team with the kicker with the name Blewett. That's terrible.
Can you think of a town tougher than Chicago? Maybe Boston or New York. It's at least as bad with the name Blewett.
Now let's not judge him. He might be very good.
There you go, Mary.
But he can't. He literally can't miss. He can't miss a single kick.
I feel sorry for him. He's dealt with his name his whole life. It's awful.
Change it.
Strange profession to choose.
I spent the evening last night thinking of other professions that would have similar names, like similar cases. Like if you were a fireman. You know, what kind of name would you have? Sure. Like Hose or something would be your name?
Yeah, and you don't want a pilot named Crash or that Crash. Kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, my foot doctor's named Turf. Dr. Turf.
It's not good.
You know, come on.
It's not good.
He had a game-winning kick at Clemson. Clemson was number two in the country, 48-yard kick.
True story.
There we go.
Yeah okay.
And the headline the next day was, Didn't Blew It.
That would be like a DJ having a name like Dead Air or something.
Yeah.
Dead Air. It's Dadair.
That's actually a good text question. A little mini text question. Worst names in any profession. 312-981-7200. The Bears' new kicker, at least today, is named Blewett. It's 620. That's your top six, Steve.
That's all today.
Stand by.
Top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I think I'd know the format by now.
You blew it!
Texas
are great.
6:25 now. Texas already chiming in. Chris Blewett, the new Bears kicker. We've got a lot of names coming in. My girl had an OBGYN whose name was Dr. Peek. That's a terrible name.
Oh. Dr. Peek.
Peekaboo. Hi, I'm Dr. Peek. Wow. Can I get a peek?
I didn't
something
get
I say.
Another true story. My wife's first OBGYN was named Dr. Bush.
Ooh.
My girlfriend had an OBGYN, Dr. Peek, as I mentioned. Dick Trickle was an actual NASCAR race car driver.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Legend.
And also a gynecologist.
And as the Dixer, and I think he probably would have been
a urologist.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He's a race car driver. Texter Daniel points out, but that's the worst name for anything.
Now, may he rest in peace, by the way.
Worst surgeon name, Dr. Klutz. Worst teacher name, Miss Failu.
Come on, that's made up.
Failu. Wow, Miss Failu.
My nephew was delivered by Dr. Stork. I go to a dentist named Dr. Payne. These are all separate textures.
P-A-Y-N-E.
My parents, not kidding, went to a doctor named Dr. Butcher.
Is that spelled B-O-U-C-H-E-R?
Nope, B-U-T-C-H-E-R.
Wow. That sounds like a
thing. He wasn't a surgeon.
Like an 80s horror movie.
I wasn't in choir in grade school, but the choir teacher at St. Joe's was Mr. Piccolo.
That's actually good.
He should have been the orchestra director. Yeah.
217 says, I work with a urologist actually named Dr. Leak.
Call me Dr. Leak.
Actually, that could work in marketing on billboards.
Yeah.
Got a problem? Come see Dr. Leak.
Yeah.
847. Our wonderful Lamaze instructor was named Kitty Croak.
Hmm.
It'd be better if it was a vet.
Yeah.
Do
you think the Bears knew they were going to create this much content?
There had to be a meeting where they went. Is this going to be Cochran 625 segment on Thursday?
The only thing I'm worried about, this could be a text question.
847, sex therapist, Anita Hickey. 630, my uncle had a cardiologist, Dr. Sick. I had a swim coach named Mr. Finney. 847, how about a pitcher named Walker? There had to be a pitcher named Walker.
There is. Walker Buehler, the Dodgers number two right now. He's a rookie, or a second-year guy. Walker Buehler.
A lot of Walkers in baseball.
And then Tyler Walkwood.
Right? Yeah,
no, it's Chetwood.
And there was Tom Base on Balls. He was a reliever.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Oral surgeon that removed my wisdom teeth, Dr. Hurt. Mm. Podiatrist named Dr. Sorto.
Wow.
It's my guy.
And it goes on and on and on. On and on and on. I get several gynecologist references here, only a few that can be mentioned. A surgeon for my hernia was named Dr. Klutz. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Klutz, is this going to go well? It's like the AT&T commercials. Okay is not okay. 628. Keep those coming. Bad names for whatever profession. All right. 312-981-7200. That's the number for texters. You can also just call in. You never know. You can end up on the radio. Wouldn't that be exciting? Let's see. Anesthesiologist named Dr. Dye. Oh, wow. What time surgery? Because I got an appointment. I'd be running out with my robe. As a kid, I saw a pediatrician named Dr. Slaughter. Wow. My niece's plastic surgeon was Dr. Slaughter. Must be the same person. Any fireman named Burns. And, again, I'm going through these as fast as I can because, honestly, some of them really aren't appropriate.
If the guy kicks well, wouldn't you think that perhaps it'd be a huge selling jersey? Wouldn't you want to proudly wear a Blewett?
I didn't Blewett.
There's not a chance that kid will survive in this town. Not a chance.
I want to get the Blewett jersey.
He survives if there's a kickoff and the guy's running it back for a touchdown. He comes out of nowhere and he pancakes the guy.
That's good for a
week.
And
everybody's like, oh my, look at this tough. And he wears his jersey up to over his shoulders and never misses a kick.
I think the heckler will probably put out a shirt quickly. Yeah, they're the ones that always have those funny shirts. So we'll see what they... I think I didn't Blewett. That could also be used for a few other things.
Yes, it could. Right. Yes, good. You're exactly right. Several references to an old pal of mine from Channel 5, Dick Johnson.
Yeah.
Legend.
Along the lines of Dick, my dad was our softball coach, and instead of being called Mr. Sandberg, he always just wanted to be called Dick. And so a lot of the 13-year-old girls is who he was coaching, and they would say it not like you're nice.
You really? 13-year-old girls would find that funny?
Oh, yeah.
Because I can see the boys finding that funny.
Or if they didn't like the direction from my dad, they were like, okay, Dick. You know, like that.
Practicing for later in life when they had a boyfriend or a husband?
Yeah. It was a...
Okay. Go play left field. Okay, Dick.
Good idea, Dick.
I feel like that's traumatic for a young Mary.
Yeah. I was like, oh, they're being mean to my dad.
Are they being mean or is that his name? I can't tell. Right.
Oh, I can pick up on mean teenage girl because I was one. So
why didn't he go with Rick or Rick?
Well, it's so good that you've changed.
Yeah. Actually, his dad is named Dick as well, Richard Andrew Sandberg. They both have the same name, and it was Big Dick and Little Dick.
Oh,
wow. That's what everyone called them.
These are actual names. You can complain if you want all day long, but these are actual names.
And then
names.
We called them Papa Dick is what Papa we called Dick. Them. Yeah.
815 Northern Illinois had a doctor named Dr. Drips. Kindergarten teacher named Mrs. Dam. You know, a little kid just goes, Dam! Mm-hmm. I work with an infectious disease doctor named Dr. Boyle.
Oh.
Know your husband?
It's funny, we got a wedding invite one time to Mr. and Mrs. B-O-I-L, Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like weird.
Chiropractor named William Tickle. Basketball player last name Brick would not be a great thing. And this might be my favorite so far. Can you imagine if we had a president named Trump?
Oh, wow.
6:31, more of those coming at 312-981-7200. And is it Chris Blewett?
Yeah.
That's right, Steve.
Yeah, well, we want to wish Chris Blewett luck for however long he's here. And also luck in his next job. Both of those.
Why do you not want this investigation concluded by Robert Mueller?
I want it concluded. I want it over with. But there's
you're not continue gonna... to you continue to question it and interfere with it. So how is it ever going to end if you question it and interfere with it?
I'm not questioning interfere with it. I just it's going to be public. The president said he wants it to continue. He's allowed it to continue. It's going to continue. At some point, there'll be some investigation. And then the attorney general, Bill Barr, will decide, will follow the law and release what he wants to release or maybe release the whole thing. That's going to happen. We all know that.
You
what
want
to
completely release? Donald Trump Jr. does.
I'm open to whatever the attorney general decides. He should follow the law. He should follow the regulations. And if they release it all, I tend to think we should err on the side of transparency. I've been for that all along. I want the FISA applications released. I want the 302s from Bruce Orr. I want all that information released so we can get to the bottom of it and the American people can know exactly what happened when they launched this thing.
That's why Chuck Todd's the best. Jim Jordan comes on, he's a big tough guy, until somebody actually gets in his face and says, why don't you want this investigation done? And by the way, get a jacket. Would it kill you? Oh, good morning, Chuck Todd.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Well, we got problems. The Bears just signed a kicker named Chris Blewett.
You can't make that up.
You can't make
You guys don't have a really good tabloid. You guys don't ever do the, like the New York Post would. The Sun-Times just doesn't have that wood that they'll lay at people with the big headline tabloids. But that'd be a good one.
Oh, you think the Tribune won't buy into this? Come on.
They're all going to do it.
Everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to do it. Nice job with Jordan on Sunday. And again, it comes back to the core problem we have here in America. And that is Donald Trump, if he had cooperated with this investigation all along, we'd be done with it. He could still cooperate now as the president of the United States. The Republicans, if they stopped getting in the way, could do it as well. But now the Democrats, with all the indictments in the world, have jumped in. And I think they run the risk of taking a nation that's tired of this topic to begin with and going, what the hell are you doing?
Look, I think so, too. I would have done this. I'm a little bit more surgical. If I had been Nadler, I would have simply said, made it about securing Mueller evidence. Hard stop. That would have been, we're just getting all the evidence that we know Mueller got because it's just a protection. It's just something you do. And I think it would have been a bit more surgical. This does allow the criticism of, they're just going for finding anything, and it was so broad and it felt so sweeping that criticism, it seemed to ring true. Now you could look at the totality. I mean, this is the dilemma Democrats have. If what do you do if you don't look into these crimes? Are you giving a permission slip for future presidents? So I do think this is a true constitutional dilemma for the House Democratic majority. But politically, I do think there's some risk here.
So is Nancy Pelosi still in control, or do the kids in Congress, have they created enough of a ruckus in this headline-grabbing life that we live in? There's too many of them trying to get too much of that.
I would say that she's in control, but there's only so much she can control. I think she controls big decisions like... Look, they're not going to make a decision like those sweeping indictments without getting her sign-off. And remember, she announced the Cohen testimony and things like that. But managing these new members, I think this is going to be something she's going to... I mean, Boehner couldn't do it with his guys. Ryan couldn't do it with his guys. And we're going to find out how well Pelosi can do it with her guys. But this new base is aggressive. And frankly, if you look at the reward structure of our political culture... discipline is punished. Disruptive behavior is rewarded.
Well put.
The big fight over Trump's tax returns is going to start. It looks like the House Democrats are going to request it. Senator Grassley on the Republican side that said that he would do the same, and he's worried that that this is a move to politicize the IRS. Do you see it that way?
I worry about it too. I think that. The problem is everything is how weaponized and slippery slope things get. So once you go down this road, the House Republicans will probably do the same with the next president and their tax return. I go back to surgical. I think there's legitimate reasons to go after his tax returns if you have a legitimate reason. I think if you're investigating insurance fraud, there's a legitimate reason to go through his tax returns. If you're trying to see if he's violating the emoluments clause, that's another good reason to go through his tax returns. So I think the hotel, I go back to something I've said here a bunch of times. You don't need to fish. The whale is on the beach of the Potomac. There is a giant white whale that's called the Trump International Hotel.
Right.
There is no fishing expedition needed. It is right there. It opens a Pandora's box of problems for the president. It always did, and he insisted on going down that road anyway. That opens the door legitimately to tax returns, and it's his own fault. I think this he's going to realize, and I think ultimately what ought to come out of this is that the biggest takeaway ought to be no future president should even remotely think about not divesting from all of their business.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it.
Pure and simple. I actually think you can do this in law. It's always careful separation of powers between the legislative branch and the executive branch. But if you make presidential nominees divest, they're not in the executive branch yet. And once they divest as a nominee, what are they going to do? Go back and get back into their company. So there is ways to do this. And I think that the Democrats always have to have a reform solution down the road so that it doesn't look like pure political harassment.
Pat Brady is here. Pat, say hi to Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Yeah, we got a big Trump whale here on the Chicago River, too, don't we? hey, because it's never too early to start talking about 2020. The question I have to you, the electoral map right now, if you put it up like Real Clear Politics and you talk about it all the time, it looks terrible for the president right now. Florida, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. What do you think about that?
Well, not only that, throw in Georgia, Texas, and Arizona, the fact that they're going to be competitive.
Exactly.
And so suddenly that's a large map. It's an expensive map. And it's a diverse map. And he's not going to do well with diversity. Look, I think the good news for him is that there is a path in the Midwest. And, by the way, Minnesota is going to be in play. And so there is a path still for him in the Midwest. But he can't afford to lose a single Sunbelt state.
But
I believe his problem is, like, he's got to sweep the Sun Belt and sweep those Midwestern states. That's a tall order.
But Minnesota, of all those you mentioned, is the only one that would have been
Only new one. Yeah. It's the only new state that I think he can target. And he's the only state he lost that I think he has a reasonable shot of carrying under certain circumstances is Minnesota.
If Joe Biden gets in, the Vice President Biden gets in, does he need Beto O'Rourke or maybe somebody in their teens to be his running mate?
I think his running mate is going to, it's almost going to be decided for him in some form like that. Look, I think in Biden's dream world it's Kamala Harris, but he's got to hope he can beat Kamala Harris in the primary. But it's going to be somebody. That adds energy, that adds diversity to his ticket. So you brought up Beto O'Rourke. The one guy I don't think it's going to be is Beto O'Rourke.
Is that right?
With Biden. Yeah. But I do think O'Rourke's going to be potentially Biden's biggest foe, because I think they're fighting for the same electability voter, aspirational Obama voter. And so in that sense, I do think that the first candidate he's going to have to worry about the most in our primary might be Beto.
I don't see anybody in the field that would be a better debater against Trump because Biden doesn't put up with bullies, and they're of the same generation. I don't buy that the DNC is not going to run a debate. The ratings are too good for these, especially based on 16. So a lot of this is just bluster in the past 24 hours.
Maybe. I've always gone back and forth. I wouldn't be surprised if when Trump thinks he controls a process, then he's going to try to use any leverage he can. And the incumbent president, by default, controls the debate process because the challenger definitely wants a debate. So it's incumbent presidents know that. So don't underestimate the leverage he will believe he has with screwing around with the presidential debates, the general election ones, not the primary ones, but the general ones.
Hey, Chuck, we saw it here in the mayoral election. Does Biden run the risk of running into that kind of progressive buzzsaw that has all the energy where a guy, of his stature that's been around a long time just doesn't have a chance?
How many times have we seen that? The answer is 100% yes. I've been sitting here thinking that because, it's always funny when you get... when you get somebody who has been around, sometimes it'll be a Senate race, sometimes it'll be a gubernatorial race, and they had a great fastball. They had a great fastball. Man, did that fastball have movement? And all of a sudden, you hadn't seen them throw the fastball in a while, and you're like, oh, I can hit that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I do think that Biden runs the risk. We're going to find out. The last time he put his name on any ballot was 2000. On his own was 2008. He got, I think, 5% maybe is what he ended up with in the raw turnout vote in the Iowa caucuses before he dropped out. But he was basically a 1% candidate. Yes, he was good on the debate stage in a 7-candidate field. I mean, so we'll see. Look, Biden's advantage is he's going to, just the showing up to the debates. The first time he's going to, be the only one that looks like a president to anybody. That matters, right? That first impression matters. By the seventh debate, that isn't going to be the case. They don't look so big anymore. And so, look, I fully think that Biden has to worry about that. But you know what I think also Biden worried about? Having regrets for the rest of his life about not running.
Yeah, I think he's in. I'd be surprised if he wasn't at this point. I was a little surprised about Bloomberg. What was your take on that?
You know, here's the thing. I've been told for years the guy's more pragmatic than anybody ever believes. You know, obviously he has an ego. Or he wouldn't have named his business after himself.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's an ego based in analytics. I admire it. He's not stupid. The other reason he got rich is he doesn't waste his money.
Right.
And he wasn't going to do something to make a point. That is one thing about Michael Bloomberg, that if you don't spend any time with him, he doesn't do things to make a point. Donald Trump does things to make a point. Tom Steyer does things to make a point. This is a billionaire that doesn't do stuff to make a point.
I can't think of any really stellar newscaster names that I would put alongside a kicker named Chris Blewett. Maybe the great Roger Mudd, a newscaster named Mudd.
Roger Mudd, Chris Blewett, and stuff, yeah.
Wolf Blitzer. Of course, Wolf is actually part Wolf. I don't know if you know that about Wolf.
I can tell you this. I hear he can't anchor after midnight.
That's exactly right.
On the street.
That's exactly
right. Nobody knows why, but nice, especially if it's a clear night and you can see the moon. Just saying.
Last thing from a 773 texter, Chuck, said we ought to be just happy that our quarterback's not named Cutler. Oh, ouch. Ooh.
No.
Here's
the thing. When the advice for a player is in his name, you should never sign him.
That's exactly right. I said if Blewett ever misses a kick, and I mean one kick, it's over.
I know. But then again, maybe he was destined to be a kicker, and he's going to bring good definition to the name Blewett.
Backup plan, political pollster. The new Blewett poll is out.
The new Blewett poll.
Enjoy your day, MTP Daily. Did you rename the podcast yet?
You know what? The answer is yes, and you're going to both love and hate it. I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to love to mock it. I don't know if we're about to put it into the feed, into our 1947 feed in the next day or two.
So you haven't released it yet.
Can we guess? Because after we hung up with you last week, it was suggested Meet the Podcast.
You're getting close. Okay. You're messing around. You're warm.
We're warm.
Okay. I'm not saying it's no, there's a pun to it.
Meet the
it's
Pod.
A little phony phony cleverness to it. Other than that, though.
Phony
cleverness. It is clever, damn it.
Were you in a meeting that you had to faux storm out of when they brought up the name?
No, but I put it this way: the name wasn't something that was come up by marketing people.
Okay.
I promise you.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
Meet the Press is Sunday morning, of course, on NBC5 here in Chicago and around the country wherever you're listening. Check your local listings.
To the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Oh, what a can of worms we opened. Bears kicker Chris Blewett. I said, text question of the day is, what would be a bad name for any profession? 309, a fireman named Seymour Fires. I would argue that's a good name. If you see more fires, that's a better name. An anesthesiologist named Dr. Sack. Didn't Channel 5 have a weatherman named Pete Sack?
Mm-hmm.
They still do, right?
Yeah, they still do.
Because the weekend weather photos always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Here come the weekend weather photos with Pete Sack.
I believe Pete Sack works with Dick Johnson.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So, you know, that's like marketing from Larry Wirt before he left Channel 5. Let's see. Went to a colonoscopy from Dr. Fingers. And I see you guys are making these up. I mean, that can't be right. 312-981-7200. That's the number. Feel free to chime in with yours. My last Uber driver's name, not kidding, Dr. Kill. Well, at least it wasn't Dr. Kill you. My eye doctor is Dr. Igo. My attorneys are Jip and Jip. I don't think that's true. My childhood pediatrician was Dr. Blood. I had a lawyer named Swindler. You know, some of these, I had a dentist named Dr. Yank. My childhood dentist, not kidding, Dr. Seuss. Well, that's something that could be fun if you're a kid.
Yeah, that would be good.
And so it goes. 312-981-7200 is the number. John DeCosta is here. John, how are you?
I'm good.
And this morning you're going to debut in the next hour, of the and finally, I should say, because we've had some trouble here. Eric Edelstein will finally get his own theme song from the studios of John DeCosta.
Wow.
It's a big development. You're going to make his mother happy.
Well, we'll see, because I don't know if I pronounced it correctly now.
Did you do Edelstein?
I did. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't worry, John. It took Cochran a year to get it right.
Hang on.
I always get it wrong.
This song has been done for a couple months, but the timing of John and Eric being together
has not worked out.
So.
Wow.
Did Edelstein rhyme better? Was that the issue?
Because
Steen has limited options.
Yeah.
Well, you kept doing Edelweiss, mm-hmm. Edelstein.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You listen to the show when you're not here, right?
I do.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I get a lot of Kaufmans. I'm sure he's fine with it.
Yeah. Well, I screwed up Anna DeVlantis, too, so...
Yeah, didn't you call me okay. Van Der Veld, too?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well, you're a hot mess, aren't you?
I think it's a
musical genius can't hear. What an odd combination.
Now I have to go back and redo it?
It's like the upside down plane on the stamp, right? This is a classic. This is something that, you know.
Something valuable.
Yes,
he's right. There's something valuable about the fact that you screwed this
up. Well, we'll see how Eric. And then also following that is the new theme song for you two. So I've reworked the new theme song for both.
A combo.
More bass?
Yes.
Double bass.
Did you have his name wrong in that one as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I just kept that consistent. I figured.
So instead of Eric, you said Eric?
No, I said Pat Brody.
Okay, got it.
As long as you keep the parts like...
stand by. More to come. And I think this is... every mom would love to hear her son's name mispronounced. So that's going to be great. Thank you, John.
Yay. You know, that's why I'm here.
Later on, will you host the misspelling bee for us?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
And that fits perfectly.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
It's 7 o'clock. Your headlines are next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
That's awesome. Steve, you're hilarious. You're hilarious. John DeCosta just got up and punched Steve in the arm. Because, can you give the reason why? I think our listeners would enjoy this.
Feel free to tell them.
Eric Edelstein, as we had, as Steve had just chastised
John.
John just did a theme song for Eric, and he said, and you said it's Edelstein, and John's like, I did Edelstein, I feel terrible. We just did 4 minutes on this.
I know. Right.
And then Eric texts in, and he said, it is Edelstein.
Yeah. Of course,
it's Edelstein, and it was Steve who went. No, it's Edelstein. Well, like, he didn't listen to the last 5 minutes.
So you've got a new song for Edelstein, for Eric Edelstein. I'm like, and it froze. Yeah. I absolutely froze. I go, okay, that's not going to work.
Isn't it funny that always works though? I've had it done to me a million times where somebody says something to you and you know you're right, but all of a sudden you know you're wrong.
You just shamed John for 5 minutes. You were just like, I can't believe
that's
you did
what friends
that,
are.
You
for.
Know, my whole life is to not have stress. And that went out the window today.
That's what friends are for. I would not be a guy if I didn't do that.
The best is if you had a portable machine and you were working really hard to change it right now. You're in the background going, Edelstein.
Coming up, Eric Edelstein song about Edelsteins.
The Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 7:15 now. Thanks for listening to it. The Steve Cochran Show, show number 1,328. Mark Carman's here. Pat Brady's here. All right, Pat, let's talk a little politics. We do this on Thursdays. And in Springfield, a place you spend a lot of your time because you know how to have fun. In Springfield, let's go through some of these issues and you tell me what their chance is of changing people's lives. We're listening right now because your local politicians determine much more of your life than the president ever will. Gambling. Gambling.
Probably not this year.
Probably not this year.
I mean, the FanDuel, that kind of thing, probably this year because they put it, the governor had it in his budget. But the Christmas tree gambling thing that comes up every year, I doubt.
The FanDuel idea is general online gambling would be approved?
Yeah, the Supreme Court just ruled it legal. So I think the smart play is, hey, if they're doing it anyway, let's get the revenue. It's in his budget as part of the balanced budget.
It's such a strange thing because FanDuel and with DraftKings or the other one, they're national. And then state by state, they regulate them. So there are some states that let you do it and some that don't. So at a certain point, they need to like snap their fingers and say it's either legal for everybody or...
Well, Supreme Court did. So yeah. It was in New Jersey. And so that's why people are actually setting up a legislative or regulatory structure around it. But on the flip side, if you're a casino, and I represent a casino, and you've been here a long time, put bricks and mortar into this and are regulated and paid a lot of money, why should these folks be allowed to come in for nothing? That's the argument on the other side.
Well, the other side of the equation, too, for places like Arlington Park is why have they been blocked from having slot machines for all these years?
A long time battle. That's probably why what happens when they introduce this kind of legislation, either to add new casinos or whatever, like you just said, people throw all kinds of stuff on it and it becomes a Christmas tree piece of legislation and it doesn't get passed.
General thoughts on how we feel about free will. Eric's here as well. Mr. Edelstein has arrived. I guess you heard what I did to John.
I did.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope you appreciate it because that's what friends are for.
But the irony is you, Steve, are one of the few guys from the beginning who've always got my name right.
Yeah.
And then today, I don't know if
it was
him or what?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. Right. Yeah.
I'm slow. Sure.
Yeah, that's
I'm a little slow.
Yeah. Hey, I don't mean to question your figures there, buddy, but I've been here 4 years. It took him two to get it right.
Yeah.
It took me three.
You know, the day you're a math major is the day that you take over. Free will in regards to gambling and marijuana. We haven't talked about marijuana yet. Are we at a point in this country where we can trust people, or do we need to regulate their lives in regards to those two issues?
Well, I think, like all things, to me, there's a balance between regulation and free will. And I think there has to be some balance. I don't think marijuana or gambling should be available to anyone at any age at any time. I think, to me, and as you know, Steve, my wife is a substance abuse psychiatrist. One of the problems with the state-by-state marijuana stuff is there's no real standards for what is 10 milligrams...
Right.
Mean in Colorado? What does it mean in California? What does it mean in a form of a gummy bear? What does it mean in
sloppy
form of a caramel? And that's dangerous. It can be very, very dangerous. So to me, if you're really going to do cannabis, marijuana the right way, it needs to be regulated by the federal government. It should be like the FDA. There should be standards. There should be testing. And you should do it that way. Now, gambling, slightly different. No, I don't think there should be unlimited gaming everywhere at all times. We've seen the devastation that can do to people who can least afford it. But it is a source of revenue. We've sort of passed the Rubicon on whether it's okay. States have been living off lotto and lottery for decades now. And so to limit it, I think is silly, but yes, it needs to be regulated.
Can I ask just on marijuana, because you saw a little bit this week in Springfield that they're starting to build the architecture for what the bill might look like. And they're talking a lot about social justice issues. They're talking about the idea that if you're going to legalize marijuana, you have to address the fact that you've put hundreds of thousands of people in jail because of marijuana. And it looks like the Pritzker administration is going to put that as part of their legislation to address that issue as opposed to dealing with it afterwards.
Yeah, it's become, and it troubles me a little, I mean, I'll just be completely candid, the progressive left has sort of made cannabis about a social justice issue. And I get that, but I think to me they're separate. I mean, absolutely there's social justice problems, criminalization of low
levels. Well, how do you fix that retroactively?
Well, you can criminal justice reform. They started to do it in Congress. I think that was the right step. My point is, let's not conflate issues, though. I mean, I know it's related to it, but let's not just legalize marijuana because it's a criminal justice issue. Let's address the criminal justice injustice and also figure out the best way to regulate marijuana.
The sponsor, common sense is going to get you drummed out of politics.
Yeah,
well, the sponsor is Kelly Cassidy and Heather Staines in the House, and that's what they've been leading with.
Right.
But
it's smart politics.
It's smart. Again, just to the crass politics of it, and the governor's used it in his budget to claim this is going to be a revenue source, which is going to get rid of the deficits and the debt, which is really not that much. The problem is, if you're an existing, say, a liquor company or been here, and like you're talking about the regulatory framework, why do you get to come in, start selling this product, highly profitable product without the same regulations that liquor or other people face.
But so, we don't know what the tax base will be because we don't know how many people legally want to use it.
Well, they do know. And like,
what, they've gone house to house?
No.
How many weed users do we have here?
There's other states and there are examples. But I do agree with Eric. It's still a federal offense. And if you don't have the federal oversight or it's not even legal federal, you can't use the U.S. banking system. So you got a bunch of cash. And it needs to be... and I think this is why this might kill this in the end. There are so many components to it that are going to be addressed here in the next month.
So no shot at marijuana legislation getting done this year?
I think there's a shot.
Oh, there is.
It's not the slam dunk I thought it was 3 months ago.
I'm still for it. I think we sort of passed that point. I just think we're doing it wrong in this country. That doesn't mean Illinois shouldn't do what other states are doing, and we should learn the lessons of them. And I do think there's a revenue source, although...
It's like $170 million.
The price points just plummet when you legalize it, right?
Like, you're getting... That's a whole other... What's it going to do to the market? I mean, part of the social justice thing is, okay, if we're going to legalize it, the money we make from it should go back into the areas that were most affected by it,
right,
which I think is a good argument.
Not into the general fund.
Right, and the people that get these distributorships for... recreational marijuana should be in those neighborhoods to make money because there's a ton of money to be
made. But why, if I am the CEO of Costco, and I'm not being flip here, or Target or Walmart, and it's legal in the state now, why wouldn't I want to control that piece of the market as well, and therefore the mom and pop licenses are blown up immediately?
Well, remember, it's still a federal offense to sell marijuana.
But if it's legalized in the state,
it's still a federal offense.
Interstate companies probably have some.
Yeah, they don't want it anywhere near it. There are law firms that won't represent.
I've never met a product that Walmart doesn't want to get near.
No, but it really is. I mean, if you take, arguably, and they're never going to be prosecuted for this, but you take money selling marijuana and deposit into a bank, that's money laundering. I mean, there's a lot of things you have to think about. It's a major multinational. I was just in Colorado last week, and I drove from the ski area to downtown Denver, and just for fun, I was checking the cannabis dispensaries.
Just for fun.
While you were driving?
While I was driving. And talking on the phone.
I picture you in a yellow Volkswagen with a peace sign on the door and Cheech and Chong in your back seat.
Hey, it's an adult bookstore. Just for fun. I want to go and see what's in there.
There were 13 dispensaries just in that route. And I actually went down and went into one just to look at it.
Yeah, just to look.
Just to look.
Yeah, just to look.
He likes the articles.
Just to look. My kids are listening. Just to look. Yeah.
Did you see my Pringles cart out in front?
There's a Taco Bell.
What did
right?
you discover?
That there, it's a real weird feel. They're very secure and it's very kind of stoner. It's not something I think people want in their backyard. And they have 1,200 dispensaries there.
But your point is the cash business only is ripe for corruption.
Yes, and other problems. Like Eric said, if you're going to do it right, regulate it. And I'm not a regulation guy, but this is something that needs to be regulated.
At 7:23, we're back with more in a moment. The MVPP as well.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So I was watching CBS Sunday Morning because I'm crazy like that, and I saw this wonderful young girl talking to, I think it was my old friend Steve Hartman. Steve Hartman does the best stories on CBS, by the way. We're pals back in the Minneapolis days. And her name is Ruby, and you're going to meet her in just a second. She's 11 years old. She's raised $70,000 at least to grant the wishes of nursing home residents. And she said that she just wanted to help. So it starts out as like a curiosity project as much as anything. She asked all the residents in the nursing home three things in the world they wish they had right now. And nobody was asking for a winning lottery ticket. They asked for simple stuff. One man wanted some pants that fit. Another, fresh strawberries. Someone simply asked for fresh food. Another fruit. Another one asked for books. Another for phones because they were lonely. They wanted something to do. And these gaps in spending that they're able to have in a nursing home were the problem because even though these things don't cost that much, most of the nursing home residents were living on $40 extra a month beyond what it cost to live there. So that's where three wishes for Ruby's residents came from.
And actually, Steve, as of yesterday, she was at over 200,000.
So 70 slightly lower than 200,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I think when the piece aired, she was at 70. So.
Ruby Kate Chitsey joins us right now. You are something else, Ruby Kate.
Thank you.
Nice to have you on the show. You're 11?
Yes, I'm 11.
Did you have any idea how big this was going to get?
I actually have no idea, but I hope it gets really big.
It's amazing. It really is. And I thought it was cool because when you first started this, give me three things that you'd want. You just were curious about the answers, right?
Yeah.
What was the one that really stuck out for you?
Well, one that stuck out were just all the simple items that they like, give you? Like, some of them wanted Vienna sausage, new clothes, pillows, like, actual shampoo and soap.
I like the food ones because it does seem like a, you know, we all have simple things that we like to have and, you know, meet our taste buds and stuff. And several people said Vienna sausages, right?
Yes, plenty of people.
And somebody, one gentleman said he hadn't had a fresh strawberry in over 8 years.
Right.
So that's...
So how many jars and bottles are, I don't even know how Vienna sausages are served. How many jars of Vienna sausages do you have to buy?
Well, a lot of people, they just sent it to us on our Amazon wish list.
That's a cool idea.
And we got, like, tons of cases, like, full-on cases. And for Valentine's Day, we threw a party with Vienna sausage. And, like, all the residents, they got a can of Vienna sausage. And it was so happy to see their reactions.
I bet our newsman, Steve Grzanich, is starting to drool right now. A Valentine's Day party full of Vienna sausage is right up his alley.
Right? Come on. Tell me about Operation Happy Meal.
Operation Happy Meal was this one nursing home down the hill. They have a McDonald's, like, right there.
Okay.
And so me and my mom, we went down there, and we got, like, 50 little Happy Meal containers with, like, cheeseburgers and fries and, sure, like, just whatever you get with a Happy Meal.
And a toy.
And we brought them up to the nursing home. And they absolutely loved it.
Of course. It's a treat. Something they don't get to do because they can't get out like they used to. And, you know, I think you know this, Ruby, and your mom Amanda was amazing, too, when we saw her. Because she's a big part of this, obviously. You wouldn't be able to do this at 11 years old without your mom's support. But a lot of these folks were just really touched about how much you cared about them and how you wanted to talk to them and stuff because they didn't have people to talk to like they used to.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the sweet parts of your GoFundMe page, Ruby, is that you have pictures with a lot of the residents that you have delivered your little gifts to.
Yes.
I think there's 43 photos that you can see, Ruby. Just even your smile probably is enough for them. But one gentleman asked for pants that actually fit.
Yeah, and there was a dog that couldn't visit, and to have a dog come by and spend some time with them. You know, Ruby, I had a great piece of advice from a friend of mine who is an operator of nursing homes. And he said, when you talk to somebody who's reached late stages of life and they're older, don't ask them how they're doing today. Ask them who they were. Let them talk about what they did in their life. Let them talk about their jobs. Let them talk about their kids and their grandkids. I'm sure you already knew that because you're smarter than I am, Ruby, but I thought that was a cool piece of advice.
Yeah, that's actually really great advice because knowing their history is just amazing. I mean, like, some of them worked at pizza shops, and some of them were in World War II.
Yeah, but that, yeah. You know, because the thing is, Ruby, you know, people get tired of talking about their aches and pains or, you know, stuff that makes them sad. They want to talk about their happy times.
Yes.
Well, you're an amazing kid. You know that?
Thank you.
We're going to send you some Chicago pizza because you got to have some pizza that you keep for yourself.
One of the residents actually had a pizza shop in Chicago.
Well, I guess I know where that pizza's going then, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a great kid. I hope whatever you do in life, you keep changing the world because you've inspired an awful lot of people. Give your mom a hug, too, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for being on. There you go. That person you just heard is better than all of us.
I like that.
Just so we're clear.
Pizza, worked at pizza shops in World War II, yes. All in the same...
A lot of great stories.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's the most articulate guest you've had on all year.
Yeah.
She was unbelievable.
Don't you love the surprise in her voice? Some of them were in World War II. That is a great human being. And obviously her mom's something else, too, to help her get that done. There is a GoFundMe page, and you can look that up as well. Ruby Kate Chitsey is her name. And I want to make sure I get the name right that you can search. I believe it's Three Wishes... Yeah, Three Wishes for Ruby's Residence. Three Wishes for Ruby's Residence. If you want to do a Google search as well. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
New Trier East and the home of the purple cow. University Chicago Law School. Wow. Very few have the political clout that you do.
ran campaigns, party democratic. Clinton, Gore, and Bobby Rush, victory automatic. 720 voice, you call Chicago your town. How can someone so successful choose to root for the Browns? You run the firm called Edelstein, enlisted media, politician, guide, encyclopedia. They'll all be fine, cause they're all with Edelstein. Eric Edelstein.
Come on!
How great is that?
There's more! It's not done!
How great is that?
It's not done!
Alright, stand by.
Hang on.
Verse 2. That's just so good. Your mom's crying right now listening to this. All right, listen. Here we go.
The state of Illinois, all the Democrats agree. You're the first to win the state since the time of Lyndon B. But even Stella, your own dog, knows the Bears are here in town. So she started her own blog. Dummy loves the friggin' Browns. The Cochran Show. So very glad they have you. Even Brady has a lot less wine when he's on with Edelstein. Eric Edelstein.
Taylor Swift so never wow. tasted so good.
So good.
I like that answer.
I keep saying,
tough song, man.
I keep saying, it's the best you've ever done. You keep topping yourself, man. Well done, John DeCoste. Well done.
Yeah. So much fun.
The original, the Taylor Swift original, is they, you got to hit those tones. And listening to DeCoste, he hits those tones.
Very nice.
Way too much credit on
that. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I'm speechless.
Wasn't it worth the wait?
I'm just verklempt.
The one word he didn't work in the song.
Didn't get that
verklempt.
I didn't get that one in.
Thank you, John. Man. Thank you, John. I'm touched.
It's so funny because I go through everything and I write down all this stuff after I research you, and then I could not believe Williams College, the home of the Purple Cow.
Yeah, Purple Cow.
I go,
cows.
That's in the song.
Purple Cow.
Who has his mascot as the Purple Cow?
How'd you know
cow?
My dog? Jeez.
By the way, you were no help at all. Yeah, every time he does a song, he asks people, give me a little bit about yourself. He asked you that twice. You didn't give him a thing.
My dad always said, I'm a need-to-know guy. Like,
can we get back to the harmonies on that jam?
Man,
good
that
stuff, man. There's a lot of production
did
going
you
on
notice
there.
The subtle mixing and the arrangement where Christopher comes in underneath a couple times?
It's good stuff.
Really
good.
Wow.
We had a good time with that one.
It feels like it may have been a 12-tracker. Yeah, you know, there's a lot going on there.
We had the Beatles producer pull that off.
Yeah, so. It's understandable. Yeah. Well done by you.
Wow.
And then we do have the theme song that they will use.
Yes, this is a group effort. But I want to give this one room to breathe for a second because that's so good. I don't want to, I don't want to play the crap you produced as well. This one was so good. That's just it. I've got it. Yeah, right now, Eric's mom is calling and going, I told you he'd amount to something. She's calling your brother out in L.A.
Song.
He's not the failure.
That's so good.
That's what the agents say. They say you need a podcast, you need Twitter followers, and a parody song.
Right.
So you've got,
so
good. You got it.
Man,
you've got
it. On my way.
Yeah, I like your chances. Will your kid be impressed by that?
I don't know. I'm going to find out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, she should be. She should be. She's old enough to appreciate it.
Yeah.
7:48. All right, I got to talk to you about Aaron Schock. This is somebody, Pat Brady, you've known for a long time. He cut a deal yesterday that's going to keep him out of jail. Did you think that was possible?
No, because they originally charged him 3 or some years ago, 24-count indictment with a lot of bad conduct relating to campaign and funding in his office. And it was, if you read the indictment, and Aaron's a friend, has been for a long time, it was a bad indictment insofar as his alleged conduct. But the case for 3 years is kind of unraveled, and they moved it from the Central District of Illinois, which did the investigation and the charging, and brought it up to the Northern District. And then so they took the Central District prosecutors off it and brought it up here. And then yesterday was supposed to be a status date to set it for trial, and they offered him a misdemeanor and just pay back $150,000 or something like that, and it all goes away. So I was shocked, and that rarely happens.
He's a very lucky guy because this is a lot of greed and ego.
It was bad conduct, if you believe what was alleged. I wouldn't do it if I were him, do a victory lap and saying this never should have been charged. To me, and I may be wrong on this, no one really knows, but to me it seems like this result was the result of some bad conduct in the investigation, maybe in the prosecution early on, not up here.
Yeah, and trying to find out about a man or a woman's sexual orientation doesn't have anything to do with whether or not they committed a crime. So,
and there are other things alleging misuses of the grand jury process.
So, you know, this makes people go, well, another one got away. But this seems like a case of he got lucky and bad prosecution.
Well, this is such an exception to the rule, too, having been through that process. To get a public corruption indictment, it takes forever. You have to go to so many layers of the Justice Department, and they don't charge people unless they're overwhelmingly convinced they're going to get a conviction. That's why they have such a high conviction rate, as they should do when they're dealing with these kind of people. So the system broke down here somewhere, and I think somebody needs to find out why.
Before we come back and play more of John DeCosta's hits, Eric, I haven't seen you since the Democrats asked for 81-plus indictments. I'll ask you the same question I asked Chuck Todd earlier, and that is this dangerous overreach has been played out by people? Because the public is sick of this. They're sick of the Trump thing. They're sick of all of it. Couldn't you be a little more strategic? Could you stretch it out, or what do you think?
I'm conflicted, to be completely candid, because on the merits, you compare what Trump's done.
After that song, or just in general?
Well, in general. In general.
Just in life.
But, I mean, you know, you start doing the comparisons to Watergate and Nixon, and this is like 200x of that. So on the merits, constitutionally, you say this stuff should be brought. He should be impeached.
And they have a responsibility of oversight.
But and I put my political hat on, I think it would tear the country apart. And I hope, you know, we need to beat him in 2020. And, you know, he's already trying to delegitimize the 2020 election. So I'm very glad. I don't think it's an overreach by any stretch. In fact, I think there's been restraint shown.
So a bad play. It's not an overreach technically, but it could be a bad political play.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's an important difference, though, right?
It is.
The other thing I brought up to Chuck Todd, I'm curious to get your take on, is Nancy Pelosi having control or not having control over the kids in Congress.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I'll talk when I want to talk, I'll say what I want to say. Good thing or bad thing?
It's tricky. There was a big piece about how the Democrats rusty in running the House given the number of years. I think she's doing a pretty good job with a really unmanageable group. I mean, look how hard it's been for the Republicans, for Ryan, for Boehner before him. I mean, they just go through these speakers. She's a survivor, and the fact that she's landed on top and now she's got this very diverse caucus. But I will tell you this, you know, this idea that, oh, the freshman class are antagonistic to her or something. There's a lot of diversity in that freshman class, and they all don't necessarily like the ones who are getting the most attention right now either. So I think she's doing a pretty good job. It's a tough group to manage.
Sort of a Boehner problem that he had a few years ago managing his son?
Yeah, but I think she's doing it. And I think, you know, look at the stuff. I know that the optics haven't been great the past week, but look at what they've passed. And they've managed to get gun control done. They've managed to get these investigations started on Trump. So there is unanimity on a lot of the legislative stuff they're doing, but it's sort of been covered over by the press with the other members.
Don't you run the risk, especially when the storyline is that these freshman class or these freshman House members are causing trouble? Isn't that what we want, though?
Yes.
Don't we don't want a lockstep. We've seen this in the Republican Senate, where everyone's like, vote with your conscience as opposed to what Mitch McConnell says.
Absolutely.
So why do we want the freshman class to follow what the Democrat leadership wants them to do?
I don't think we do. I mean, I think there's a point at which you want this diversity, but you also want a cohesive caucus on a legislative agenda. I don't think Pelosi would be the last one to say, I'm not going to control what these people say or what they do or what they believe. But I do think when there's these incidents of things that are really destructive, and undermining to what Democrats are trying to do, she's going to call it out.
Yeah. We'll come back with more of John DeCosta's big hits and little hits as well, and those will be available on the website later. Before we go, as promised, a song putting these two together. Right? Really, one of America's most unlikely couples, Adelstein and Brady, together in music now. One more from John DeCosta. Roll it.
Adelstein and Brady.
Brady. Both analysts with info that you need to know, and you can get it here on 7-0-0-0-0. Political views that come from both the left and then the right. Yeah, Adelstein and Brady.
Adelstein and Brady.
They agree to disagree on all the subjects come to light. Yeah, Adelstein and Brady.
Brady.
We're taking bets off the air if they just want to win the fight, yeah. Adelstein and Brady.
Adelstein and Brady.
They're really gonna blow your mind because they're seldom wrong just right, yeah.
listen to Edelstein and Brady.
Now I'm afraid to jump in. I feel like I'm going to step on it. And what'd you say, Joe?
We're just forming our own soul train.
Very,
line
very impressive.
Right now,
very impressive. And Pat's weepy.
That's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
What was that, Pat?
I'm more just thinking of all the business I just cost Eric having my name associated with.
That's fair point. Fair point. Yeah. Had a nice guy, nice career going. Solid wow company.
Good. Well, let me see that song live. I want to see that song live.
That would
get
be good.
Like
live.
An 8-piece song,
yes,
right?
Do me a favor. Two text players me later because I want to know what your daughter and your mother thought.
I will.
Yeah.
For
as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Good to see you, fellas.
Thanks
and next
us
week, I'd like to tell you there'll be something this entertaining, but no, it's just going to be you two.
But I think that next week something special's happening, isn't it?
It's my birthday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
But don't do all your shopping now. Save it till the last minute.
He's a lot older.
Yeah. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Guzanich, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN Radio next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one match. Yeah, Hollywood.
Kiss me. 8:12 now. The Steve Cochran Show continues, and it's Moron Entertainment time. One of the morons is not actually in studio this morning. Where are you?
I am on location today, Steve. I'm in my old neighborhood where I grew up at the what is now going to be called the Avalon Regal Theater. Hmm. Some people will remember this theater at 79th and Stony as the Avalon. Some will remember it as the Regal. But the new owner, Gerald Gary, who just he bought it a few years ago and is renovating it, he's going to bring back both names, so it's going to be called the Avalon Regal. But what you know, this theater is significant for many reasons. For me, this is the first movie theater where I first saw movies. You know, the movie critic gets to come back to the theater where you grew up watching movies is a pretty cool
man
thing. And this is where, you know, famously, I like to tell the story of how, you know, on Saturday, you know, the four brothers, I'm the youngest of four boys, you know, we would come to the movie theaters on Saturday and, you know, see whatever stupid Jerry Lewis movie was opening or whatever horror movie was out that week or, you know, whatever. My older brothers, of course, did not want to drag along their little brothers. So once we get to the theater, they would ditch me. And, you know, I would sit by myself in the theater watching these movies. And I remember one horror movie. I don't remember which one it was. Might have been a Vincent Price movie or something. Something okay scary happened. And I ran screaming from the theater. I clearly remember this, traumatized, running out into the lobby, sitting in the lobby for the rest of the time waiting for my brothers to come out. So as part of my therapy, I've returned to this theater now.
Do you have post-traumatic brother disorder?
Yeah, finally put that demon to bed.
Dean, I don't know if you and Steve were listening to Nick DiGilio's on your way into work, but he was talking about one time when he and some buddies came over and they were watching an 8-hour stretch of Beavis and Butthead that MTV had on, and it was billed as the Moronathon.
What?
Wow.
So I thought of you guys, of course, because I heard moron.
I think we should sue them.
Yeah, right? Retroactive lawsuit. Yeah, a lawsuit that we should have known that they were going to do that.
But possibly you could work Moronathon into the Moron Entertainment.
That would be...
Yeah, I mean, they... Beavis and Butthead stole from us before we knew they stole from us, so why can't we steal from them now that we know?
Yeah, that seems logical. Any judge, any jury would back us up with that kind of accusation, very definitely.
No question about it. What's the lead entertainment story today?
The lead entertainment story, of course, is Alex Trebek announcing yesterday that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, how about that?
It's his statement that he made was so beautiful and so eloquent, you know, just forthrightly saying that this is what he's dealing with, that he plans on fighting it, that, you know, pancreatic cancer is not what you ever want to hear from your doctor. The survival rate is, you know, 5-year survival rate is, you know, like 9%. It's very low. But, you know, he says he's going to fight.
Mm-hmm. Still with me, Dean?
Can. So.
Now we've got a bad cell now. All right, hold the line. You're spotty. You're coming in and out. So let me. Can I hear you now?
Am I back now?
There you are. Don't move an inch. You were talking about Alex Trebek. Go ahead.
A muscle. Yeah. No, I was just saying that the survival rate for pancreatic cancer is 5-year survival rate is 9%. It's very low. So say a prayer for Alex Trebek. Send him all your love and all your positivity because he's got one hell of a fight in front of him. We wish him nothing but the best.
I was told from somebody that works in the studio and is sort of related to the show that he didn't tell everybody, and a lot of people were seeing that for the first time that actually worked with him yesterday.
That was my understanding as well. That he said that he needed to do a taping. He didn't say why, and made the announcement of having pancreatic cancer. So his staff, lots of his staff, were kind of blindsided by the news. But at the end of his statement, he said that he has to beat this cancer because contractually he's got 3 more years of hosting Jeopardy.
That's great.
Legally. And you could hear people in the background laughing. Great that he, tried to make it a little more comfortable and a little lighter for the people around him, because that's not a diagnosis you want to hear ever.
That's a brutal cancer. I know all cancer is brutal, but it is a particularly hard on the body
awful.
To live through.
And it's also awful because the symptoms are usually not something that come up until it's too late to treat.
Yeah, exactly. We've done so many shows on different kinds of cancers, and there have been tremendous advances in so many different kinds of cancer. I mean, really serious and back in the day, instantly fatal cancers, but pancreatic cancer is not one of them. For the reason that Steve said, by the time that there are symptoms, it's too late. It's too far spread, and, often has metastasized and, spread to other organs as well. So it's not impossible. I know of so many cases of people who were diagnosed with stage 4 cancers of other kinds, lung cancer, brain cancer, never pancreatic cancer, but I know people who were given very bad diagnoses, and they are still alive today after 20, 25 years in some cases. So, I say you never give up hope and you never give up fighting and trying.
We'll come back more with Dean in a second. He's on the road today. He's at his childhood movie theater dealing with therapy. And, is your therapist with you right now?
No, my therapist has long since passed away. I've long since outlived the therapist.
Oh, okay. So you're working through this on your own.
I killed my therapist with depressing stories. Couldn't take it anymore.
So your stories were so bad that your therapist, in the business of hearing depressive stories, actually died.
Got depressed. Yeah, got
wow.
depressed. And
wow.
The way. Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
But I feel better. Emotionally, I feel better already just being in this theater. It's amazing, though, how, things from the past keep coming at you when you step into something like this.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever gone to an old house or someplace where you were when you grew up, but I'm just memories are flooding back of being in this old Avalon Theater. And it's amazing theater. I know you have to take a break, and I'll tell you, I do want to tell you a little more about the history of this theater and what they're planning on doing here, because it's pretty cool.
I have one other story to ask you about before the break. Kate Beckinsale is 45 years old. Pete Davidson is 25. She's beautiful, and he's not so much, but he's a great guy by all accounts. I don't really know him. But is this love, Dean? The America is wondering, is this love, the Saturday Night Live star and Kate Beckinsale, or is she smart enough to realize she has a movie coming out this weekend?
Well, I don't know what I don't know. I
well,
just
make it up then.
That.
What are you know I this just, segment?
I should hang up my entertainment critics if I'm not willing to just make up a story without
exactly.
having
exactly. Come on,
to back it up. Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry to disappoint you that way. I don't know. They seem like they're kind of head over heels over each other. Is she using him for publicity? Probably not. But I don't know if you saw the story the other day that her former boyfriend, I forget his name, somebody asked him about them dating, and he said that he advises Pete Davidson to tread very carefully in the future. So,
is it Matt Rife or Matt Riff or something like
that? Yeah, that is it. That is it. Yeah. Yeah, and good luck.
I don't want
anyone
to take advantage of Pete Davidson. He's
fragile.
Ariana Grande thing, and
yes,
posted those very disturbing tweets about possibly taking his own life.
Right.
I don't want anybody to hurt the poor man.
Yeah, same here. That's why I brought it up too. Hold on, we'll come back.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Dane, you were talking about our first, movie theater experiences, memories, and that sort of thing, or first homes and that kind of deal. The first movie theater that I went to with any regularity, I ended up working at. It was one of my first jobs. And I get a little emotional talking about this, but it was one of the first places I was fired from.
Oh, see, that's nice, because you've had lots of them that one of those firings can stand out like that.
Yeah.
Means something.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, very sweet memories. And, they got very petty. It was the late 70s. Animal House had come out, and I let the entire football team in for free. And suddenly it's an issue. Suddenly everybody wants to have a meeting.
Some people are just petty that way.
Ridiculous.
I don't remember what it cost to come into theater, but I... the Avalon Regal, which is
a couple of bucks, probably a buck and a half, probably something like that, huh?
Maybe even less than that. But it's just east of Stony Island on 79th Street on the south side in the South Shore, Avalon Park, Chatham area of Chicago. This is the theater that Tyler Perry told me just 2 weeks ago where Madea started. He was doing his little stage shows, and this is where Madea took off and became popular. And this place has a very special place in Tyler Perry's heart, who, interestingly, is in Chicago this weekend. He's at the Eric Crown Theater. Wrapping up his Madea tour, he's going to retire the Madea character. So while he's in Chicago, I've been saying how great would it be for Tyler Perry to come here back to the Regal, take a look at the theater where it all started, maybe help him out a little bit.
That'd be great.
Because it's a magnificent theater. It was built in 1927, originally as a vaudeville house. All the big names in vaudeville played here at the Avalon. It became a movie theater where Jerry Lewis would make appearances in the Three Stooges. Dave Clark Five performed here at the Avalon Theater.
They performed over and over and over again.
There you go. Look how you worked that right. title in, Mr. Music.
Yeah, and they were glad all over that they did that, too. And I like it like that. And then, like a lot of old movie palaces fell into disrepair. They renovated it in 1980, and it came back, and that was when it was renamed the Regal Theater for the original theater that was at 47th and King Drive back in the day, where all the legends of R&B and the blues performed. They renamed this theater the Regal, and Tupac Shakur played here, and B.B. King and Aretha Franklin, and I saw Patti LaBelle perform here. I saw many Motown reviews here through the years. It's an amazing theater, but then, fell into disrepair again, and now Kanye West has given them $1 million to help renovate the theater. It's still in pretty good shape. I mean, it's built like an Oriental palace. You know, remember how these old movie theaters were all like, so beautifully ornate and domed ceilings and moving starry ceilings in the theaters. This place is pretty much intact like that. I mean, a lot of the original 1927 ornateness is still here, but they have to update plumbing and heating and, a lot of the basics, the seats probably, the little seats that little Deanie sat in, probably Big Deanie can't be so comfortable sitting in a
seat
like that
now.
They have some updating to do. So,
and you're going to be there all morning?
I'm going to be here all morning. We're going to be showing, what we can of the theater. And, so we're bringing back some memories, at least for me. And I know a lot of other Southsiders.
Well, good.
That went to the Avalon Theater, they're going to bring back a million memories.
All right. Well, if you want to find Dean, you know where he is this morning, you know, to wish him well.
Come on by. But, yeah, they don't have the heat turned on, so it's really, really comfortable in here right now, too.
Sure. They don't have the heat on in here either.
Yeah.
You're okay, Dean.
Heat's optional. All right, buddy. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Rob.
That's Dean Richards live at the formerly old, now new Avalon at 8:31. Mark Carman's Tales of Love and Woe, and Woe, Love, took another, peculiar turn. So we'll bring that up here in a few minutes.
And we have Coach Colleton coming up.
Coach Colleton's coming up right after the news. Stand by for Jeremy Colleton and the must-win Chicago Blackhawks hosting Buffalo tonight at the Madhouse on Madison. Headlines are next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah.
Hawks are in the biggest must-win situation you could have. And the Jeremy Colleton Show is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Sabres in town tonight. And Coach Jeremy Colleton joins us now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Practice this morning?
Yeah, we'll skate at 10:30.
And any special message to the boys? Or is it we got to take these one game at a time, one period at a time, one shift at a time, all the things we think we know?
Yeah, it's that. I also think, I think the performance on the road trip wasn't what we need in order to get the points that we need to be in the race. I didn't mind the last game. I thought we played a little harder, but the first two games, even though we won in Anaheim, not the level that we need and should have in important games. So tonight we need a response. We got to bring our best game and be ready to battle, be ready to compete. And then we'll see what happens.
There's been many people that have said this around town. I certainly don't believe this myself, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. And that is that you guys spent so much energy winning those 7 out of 8 that the guys kind of ran out of gas.
Well, it was a grind, but I think when you get in the race, you get energy. Like those first couple games at home against Colorado and Dallas, when we were right there, that was as good as we played, in my view. And so I don't think energy was a problem. Maybe after that weekend, there was a little bit of a mental letdown on the road trip. And we don't like it. We're not happy about it, but it's kind of where we are now. So we got to respond.
Mark Carman's here for Dave Ennett. Mark.
Coach, Cam Ward out for a bit here. Kylan Delia back up. Just looking forward, how good do you think Delia can be? Does you see him as a potential number one goaltender down the line?
He's definitely got the tools, and like athletically, he's outstanding. Very got a lot of ability, natural ability, and he also tremendous work ethic. Like he wants to be better. He takes it seriously. He's he's very open to exploring new ideas and to getting feedback from the coaches. So he's got every opportunity. We'll see what happens, but it's certainly a guy we believe in.
Back to the being tired or a little bit of a grind. Patrick Kane has played the most minutes in his career ever this year. I know he said he's not tired, but do you think that's actually the case?
I think it's hard to say. Some games you feel better than others, and he's not going to feel his best every night. But he has a tremendous engine. Like he can take those minutes, and we try to put him in the best situation possible, like so he can be more efficient. Offensive situations, power play minutes, offensive zone starts, and whatnot that maybe can lighten the load. Even though the minutes are high, they're not as hard on him. But when we had a couple injuries here, it got a little bit more difficult as far as how we built the lineup and being able to shelter our top guys and put them in more offensive situations. Getting Campy back will help a lot. And hopefully Kajula isn't far away either. But I do think when we're having success, that's kind of the formula where we were putting Kane and Taves out in situations where they could really take advantage offensively, and lately we haven't been able to do that.
Coach, we talked about this all season, the getting to know and compete in the division. And here we are in the month of March, and if you have any shot of making the playoffs, you're going to have to beat a healthy amount of division foes. What have you learned? Is this a good time to be at the end of the season to know the squads you're going to have to play because you've played them already and to be ready to win those games?
Yeah, first of all, to be in this division, I think is great. It's great for the organization. You know, for a while there, we were the class of it, obviously, before I got here, and that forced those other teams to be better. It raised everyone's level, and that's where we're at now with, you know, you get teams like Winnipeg and Nashville that are they're raising the bar, and that's going to force us to get better too. So I think it's great, and I think it's great to play those teams here at the end because we want to see where we're at, and we're in a playoff race, but we're also evaluating what we have and what we need to do to get back to being an elite team.
You know, you're talking about minutes and tired legs and all of those things. You were a player and a very good one. How is your radar for players lying to you? Because nobody wants to sit down. And guys, they'll tell you something that maybe is not entirely true and they're feeling physically not great.
Yeah, there is some of that. Guys want to play. And that's also part of building a relationship and a trust that they got to believe that I'm going to do the right thing. I just need the information.
Right.
So sometimes I can give a guy a break for half a rotation or maybe just back off a little bit for half a period, and they're still going to play. They're going to play a lot, and we're going to put them in those situations to succeed. But, you know, it's always nice if I don't have to read minds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard enough to coach. Anything special about tonight's lineup? Still being figured out in the laboratory?
Yeah, well, we'll see how it is this morning. Obviously, Campy practiced yesterday, and we're hoping he'll play. But we're going to kind of see how it is this morning and go from there. And, again, we're looking for a response from the group. We need to show that we're not done yet.
Jeremy, I know you guys deal with sleep experts when you do stuff like go to a West Coast trip, et cetera. And if you do decide to fly back at night and land here at 5 a.m. or stay the night in California and then come back the next day, we are all sleep deprived on this show. Is there anything that these experts have told you or the team that would be helpful in how to try to get more better quality sleep?
Right. Well, it's important that you sometimes circumstances you can't get to bed before a certain time, so it's important that you sleep in. So I'm not sure how that works for your show that you have there.
It's a little tough, you know. Sure, it starts early.
Get the required hours. I don't know who the boss is there. You might have to talk to them about moving some schedules around, but that's one thing. And so, you know, for instance, when we came back from San Jose, we didn't fly back right after the game. We came home the next morning, and that's sometimes, you know, you weigh it. It's like getting home at 2. Is it a disaster? You know, probably not. And then the guys have the full day off the next day, as opposed to basically torpedoing your whole day off traveling. But when you come back from the, you know, the Pacific Coast, it's pretty tough. I think you basically have to go the next morning.
Well, the way I've handled this personally is we normally have a full rehearsal at 4 a.m. and I cancel that on the tough days.
You're in the radio business, they call players coach, right?
Listen, I know what it's like, man. I've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Coach, I think tonight's going to be fun. Let's get an early lead, and let's hold that early lead. Take a little stress off all of us.
That's a great plan.
All right. Well, it's not my first day. It's Jeremy Colleton, the head coach of your Chicago Blackhawks, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Go get him, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. I like him.
Solid.
I still think he's iffy on me, but I like him.
I'm going to use the sleep-in thing. When I put in work day, my days off, and my personal days and my sick days, I'm going to say Coach Colleton recommended I sleep in today in the notes.
You think that'll work?
I do. Hmm. I do. I think he said it's necessary and important.
Yeah. And they are partners.
Yeah.
You so can't. If they speak, you got to listen, you know?
Right.
It's an interesting strategy. I may have to take it under advisement.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Love will
keep us together. You thought about this comes for the wedding, Captain and Tennille?
Yeah, no.
Well,
but
Captain,
it's very nice.
Captain's no longer with us, but we could probably get somebody else in a sailor's hat.
That's a just, I mean,
we that's can, a thought. Then you want to throw it out the window immediately. I mean, there's no bad ideas. We're just brainstorming. Mark Carman just had his lovely fiance, we should say, is Chelsea. And you guys have been engaged since when?
January 12th, Steve.
Still figuring out the wedding?
Yep.
All right, but you had an anniversary.
We did.
An anniversary of when you decided to go steady.
Right.
Did you know that he was going steady? He's going steady.
You know, I just realized your fiance is Chelsea, mm-hmm. and Mary Sandberg's sister is Katie. Those are the names of my two dogs.
Oh, isn't that sweet? What a nice tribute. All right, so
that seems a little bit off.
So, Mark, I don't know about you, but my sister does not love when she hears that the dog is her name, so I don't know if Chelsea will love hearing that.
Yeah, I don't know if that was good or not.
Well, you're in enough trouble.
Yeah.
So why make it worse?
Right.
So the anniversary that you just passed was what?
It was our first date, Steve.
And that was how many years?
2 years.
2 years. First date. This is a nice thing. This is an opportunity to be romantic.
Right.
Went to a nice dinner?
Yep.
And what happened at the dinner?
Well, it was a very busy day, Steve, if I may be...
I come to excuses.
A tad bit long-winded here.
Boy.
You know, Northwestern was playing. The Bulls were at the United Center.
Sure,
I was doing everything I possibly could for my career, the station.
Got a lot going on.
Creating security for me and Chelsea.
Sure. Chelsea and you.
Yeah. Excuse me. So we got to dinner, Steve, and I had this beautiful card.
Oh, very nice. A card that you probably slaved over.
He is so choked up over this, he can't even get it out.
Yeah, I mean, a card that you slaved over, a card that you spent all this time buying, and I'm sure you spent probably most of the weekend preparing.
Right, I had to go to the bathroom to write out the card, Steve.
Forgot to write out the card.
It was an accident.
Forgot to write out the card.
That's where you write
licking
cards.
Licking a card in the bathroom?
All right. But that's not the end of the story, is it, Mark?
I think that is the end, Steve.
No.
What else did I share with you?
No. She also found out.
Oh, yeah. No, I got completely nailed. I you know, right when she went to the table, I said to the maitre, can you get that pen? And then I went to the bathroom. And then I walked out, and she's like, I see the pen in your pocket. And I'm like, no, that's not a pen.
I'm just happy to see you.
also, because the card was wet.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But it was clean.
I didn't.
And did you spend a lot of time in the bathroom or were you panicked?
Because that was the thing. I took my time. So it was, that's why. Obvious, that's yeah. See, I wanted to write. I wanted to make sure.
Rookie mistake.
Right. It was just, I was racing back from here and there. And so then I picked up the card and it was a beautiful card. You know, I went the whole distance with the papyrus. You know, you go.
Oh, yeah. So did you have a little sticker for the back?
Right. The sticker.
The envelope.
The hummingbird thing.
Yeah, as opposed to just licking it.
Of course, Pete Zimmerman is out there. His wife designs cards for a living, so he La Familia Green. He's got his ears.
If I can
closed.
Use a sports metaphor, it feels like you just didn't read the playbook.
Yeah,
you know, like I feel like you're gonna have to. I mean, you're a mature guy, you're a professional guy, but that move never works.
Rookie mistake.
It was a bad job all over the place.
But here's the thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah,
here's my concern. This should be the happiest time of your life. This should be the most romantic time of your life. This should be all. I mean, the majority of your thoughts all day should be about Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a move you make 10 years in.
See, I think that when you're so in love, Steve, that you just get caught up in the moment, and sometimes some details slip.
You know, although I will say there are some guys, I'm included, that don't necessarily put a lot of stock into cards and that kind of gesture.
I'm a pretty good cards guy overall.
Based on Chelsea's reaction, does she put a lot of stock in cards?
Chelsea puts a lot of stock in cards. Yeah, no, this was not a good moment for me.
No, well, Mark, in your defense.
Buddy, I'm trying.
In your defense, you only had like 2 years to figure that out.
I mean, you barely know her name.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I apologize profusely. And
was she mad or is she just kind of like, whatever?
She wasn't in love with it. There was a little bit of a disappointment there. I'm not going to lie.
You blew it!
Like the kicker.
How'd the rest of the dinner go then?
The dinner was a little rough too, Mary.
Started talking about the wedding plan.
Right, we got into
it.
No, it was a it was a beautiful opportunity for us to recalibrate and reconcentrate and really.
You got to own that you screwed up. Do you own that you screwed up?
I 100% own, Steve.
Okay.
Bad job by me.
And when you got home, I assume you got a good view of her back because that's the way she slept the entire night.
And I said, I got to go to sleep. I'm on Cochrane. I was filling in for Dave. It was Monday. You know, I had to be here.
Right. Why do I picture when he got the bill? He goes, hey, I got the last one.
Mark Carman, we will continue to cover it live with our best people. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Gersanich next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I see you.
Nine ten. Bill Geiger later talking about some money and retirement stuff like that. Show number 1328 continues. It is March the 7th. We've got a couple of heroes in the studio. One of the toughest things you could ever do is have a sick kid, and all of us are blessed in many, many ways. And there are blessings in having kids that are super sick as well. But these people are heroes, and we're going to tell you a little bit about Smash Smart. Sandberg, do the introduction.
So we have Brittany and Bobby Steinman here. They are the parents of Blake and Nash Steinman. And last week, if people remember, on our website, we did a lovely video where Mary Vandeveld, on her own, smashed you in the face with a plate of whipped cream.
I was told to do it.
I don't know.
Added a little extra
sauce.
She
smushed it into your face.
I always thought I was fun, easy to work with and all that, but in the last week, there's been a real dark turn here.
Yeah, so people were lined up out the door to get that honor, and we did that because of their son, Nash. He's two. He has SMARD, and this is an effort to raise awareness for SMARD and money to try to help get to a cure, and so Brittany and Bobby are here. Unfortunately, Nash was not able to make it, but we've looked at pictures, and you can see him on our website. He is the cutest human on the planet.
And I'm sure Blake holds his own as well. Lean into those microphones, guys, and say hi. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
You've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old Nash, and you got an event coming up. I want to make sure people know about the event, and we'll tell them about the website where they can donate there. But what's happening on March 16th?
Yeah, so we have created a partnership with Spear Training Center in Vernon Hills, where they are going to put some folks through a boot camp to help raise awareness for SMARD, and all proceeds will go to smashsmard.org, again, to help raise awareness and find a cure for these children affected by SMARD.
Get a bunch of people sweating.
Which is a good thing.
A little bit
right?
of torture.
For
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you're going to feel good. You're going to get a good workout in. You're going to do a good thing. We were talking off the air a moment ago. Explain what SMARD is, a neuromuscular situation?
Yes. So SMARD is a fatal neuromuscular disease that presents itself in infancy. One of the most awful things about SMARD is that these kids lose their autonomic function. So some of the kids, all that they can do is blink at the end of this. They can't move. They can't breathe on their own. They can't eat. So
neuromuscular degenerative, and we don't know much about it, do we?
There is absolutely no known etiology of the disease. Only 60 children are affected by the disease. So,
and is it true Nash is the first kid in Illinois?
He is the first kid in Illinois. As
60
far as
kids
we know,
nationally, or?
There's 60 kids alive. So we have 100 that were diagnosed. Unfortunately, we've lost about 40 of those patients, and we have 60 that are alive internationally. So worldwide.
Around the world.
Around the world, yes.
And we have no idea what causes this, where it comes from, any of that, obviously.
Nope. We have no idea.
How difficult has it been for you to get that diagnosis when there's such a small sample size? I would assume going through doctors and trying to figure out what's happening with Nash, how difficult was it to come to this?
It was extremely difficult. When he was first born, things were somewhat normal. He was smaller than he should have been, but he was presenting fine. You know, everything was going the way that it should have. But then around 4 months, he started having some issues. And we were being told, you know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. He's just having some, you know, normal, like acid reflux. Or, you know, so it started with some feeding difficulties. And then it progressed quickly to some breathing difficulties. And so we spent a lot of time looking for different specialists. I was just telling them outside, we actually have seen over 100 specialists trying to get up to this point. It took us a year to get the diagnosis. I fought pretty hard for genetic testing because we were, you know, trying to be sent home because we couldn't figure out what was wrong with him.
What does it get misdiagnosed as? Do people go to muscular dystrophy instantly?
Spinal muscular atrophy. So it's kind of confusing because the name is spinal muscular atrophy with respiratory distress. it is very different than the traditional spinal muscular atrophy, which is the number one genetic killer of children. They're completely different diseases, different mutations, different. So that's been a, that has probably been the hardest, is people look at him and they say, we've seen your child before, because they think that he has SMA, which is spinal muscular atrophy, but it's not the same disease.
Well, you're folding in the respiratory disease as well. I mean, well, it's unbelievably cruel.
But it's not even on the same it's not even on the same gene. So you're like on a completely different disease with the same name. So people come in, but we know some of the etiology of the traditional SMA, Nash's disease. They don't know, and they literally. So with traditional SMA, it starts proximally. So it starts in the center of your body, and it works its way out. With Nash's disease, it starts on your peripheral extremities. Oh, it starts peripherally, distally, and it works its way in.
And here's the cruelty of this: because 60 kids in the world are alive from it, the idea that we're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars to support research on this.
Exactly.
It frankly, I mean, and again, look, the business model of medicine is what it is, but it doesn't pay to find a cure for SMARD the way it does to find a cure for other things. And that's a horrible, horrible, nightmarish position to be in. So you guys have to do whatever you can as fast as you can.
Exactly.
And, you know, work towards that miracle.
Exactly. And part of it, with the funding that we're doing towards, you know, gene therapy research, the reason that time is of the essence is because the more function that these kids have when they get the treatment, the more that they preserve and the more that they can regain. So that, for us, is why we are in such a rush.
Well, and you also have mentioned that, you know, Nash, first of all, specialists didn't even know what he had. They didn't even know how to handle it. And they've also kind of written off, like, well, the prognosis isn't great, so, you know,
just let your kid die.
Yeah, you know, but in the meantime, I watch on your Facebook page, he's shooting a ball.
Yes.
You know, he plays with his brother.
We're like, talking about this. This is a tough little kid.
Yeah, yes. So it's, you know,
I don't give him much option.
Yeah, but writing them off, he's living life.
Exactly.
Like, while people were like, hey, you know, there's nothing we can do here.
Well, so that's the other interesting part about the disease, is the progressive nature in the muscles is one thing, but to be cognitively there 100% is the most difficult thing, because he can watch us, he understands everything that's going on, but he still struggles with all those other daily things that,
like, breathing, you know, talking. Obviously, he can't walk. Like, seeing your 2-year-old in a wheelchair is just like the most unnatural thing that you could possibly imagine. But then watching your kid struggle to do, like, to his point, the two most basic things in life, which is eating and breathing, is really, like, it's actually sick.
And as a 2-year-old with an older brother who's 4, how much credit do we give Blake here? Because, I mean, as soon as a 2-year-old, he wants to be like his big brother, right?
Well, and just Blake, his compassion. I'm trying not to get emotional.
Oh, believe me, you're entitled. Feel free.
I get emotional every day. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
He is just, he's wise beyond 4 years. He kind of was like that before we had Nash, but it's made him even more. And I do believe that his encouragement towards his little brother has been, like, a huge reason why Nash has done so well. He is the most amazing human being. I think about how scary life must be for him. Sometimes he has issues, you know, he has some residual anxiety from when we were in the hospital for a year.
Of course.
Going to friend's house, he wants me there because he's not sure if we're going to drop him off and leave him for 5 days. You
he's
know?
A little boy.
Exactly. So, you know, but he has really stepped up, and he is, I can't even go there.
Well, Steve, we talked about this with our friends with the family with the Batten disease, how the kids that aren't sick are affected and sometimes alienated by other families because they don't know how to, like, oh, we don't want to ask the Steinmans if he can come over because, you know, they're dealing with Nash.
Which is the last thing you need. You want a,
However, we haven't had that. I'm sorry, not to cut you off.
No, please.
We have been seriously so lucky. We have, instead of people being scared, we've had, that's why we're here today. We've had people wrap their arms around us and ask us, like, what can we do? How can we do it? When can we do it? And we've been seriously so lucky. Being in the hospital for a year is very isolating. Mm. It's awful. You have that feeling of being, you know, but the minute we got out of the hospital, we had food at our door. We had playdates lined up for Blake. We had people asking, like, you know,
you guys got to give yourself credit. You got a circle of friends that love you.
Yeah, we're very lucky, though.
We were talking about the Van Houten family and Batten disease in particular. The problem is, Justin was touching on, rare disease is not getting the research dollars you need for it.
Yeah.
But there's people listening now who just found out their child may have cancer or something else. I mean, the more mainstream diseases, for the lack of having a better way of putting it. I asked you guys in the hallway this. It's amazing to me you can put one foot in front of the other, but is the way you deal with this, because you got to have moments where you go, why me? Why him? Why us? But the way you get beyond that is you're busy all day, I suppose, right? You don't have time to feel that bad.
Right. Well, I haven't gone. I haven't allowed myself to go there too much. I did at first. I was really scared. I was like, oh my gosh, if my kid makes it to two, this is going to be a miracle. But now it is. It's like we just keep ourselves busy every day. We started a foundation, the Smash Smart Foundation.
Hashtag Smash Smart Kids.
Yes, hashtag Smash Smart. I spend a lot of my. We spend a lot of our day talking to researchers. Hundreds of researchers, hundreds of pharmaceutical biotech companies, patients, parents of kids that have this disease, to try and tie in some commonalities so that we can have some sort of like protocol of treatment. So I try and focus, and then on top of it, NASH's minute by minute care. Thank God for our nurse Susan, who and our night nurse Chris. We are so lucky in that regard. We have such good care for him.
Well, she must be amazing. But I mean, that's the other part of the story. You got to earn a living.
Exactly.
You got to support your family.
Well, so and so I am home. Bobby is working, but you know, but still, even though Susan is there, I do spend so much of the day caring for him. It is his mood is minute by minute. His comfort is minute by minute.
Well, he needs his mom.
Yeah, right.
Well, in every part of it, I know you had put an extensive post up about how feeding him, which is not you know, orally, and how scary.
It's not even in his gut. He gets only intravenous nutrition.
So. Is that right?
And how scary it is if a fleck of skin, like the process of.
Because it's going into his bloodstream.
Not only does he need attention constantly, it's the utmost. You have to be on your game. You're not, you know, you're tired, you're sick, you're not able to do it for him. You can't help him. You know, like, it's beyond encompassing.
Yeah, and it's beyond cruel. And that's why I told you guys you're heroes. I mean, you are. You don't have time to bask in that glory, obviously. but the thing you're doing and bringing attention to this is a really big deal. Again, we want to mention boot camp at Spear Training Center to Smash Smart, March 16th, 10 a.m. in Vernon Hills. You can go to the website, Smash Smart, just like you thought it'd be spelled, SMASHSMARD.org. You can donate there. You can also sign up for the event, and I'm sure they'd be happy to take you on that day. But let's sign up in advance. So they know how many folks are coming. Can you hang around a second?
Yeah. Take the Smash Smart Challenge, too.
Take the Smash Smart Challenge. We don't have to say that twice.
Yes.
All right. It's smashsmart.org. More in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
.925. Back with half of their amazing family. The Steinmans are here. Sandberg, want to do the introduction again?
Brittany and Bobby Steinman, and Blake and Nash are not here. Is Blake at school?
He is.
Yeah. Kicking it, 4-year-old, almost five. So,
And Nash is fighting SMARD,
yes.
And the family's obviously fighting SMARD as well. You just mentioned Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus off the air. Why is that special?
Yeah, so Nationwide is one of the centers that we've reached out to see if they'd be interested in research with SMARD. And so we have found a group of researchers there that work in their gene therapy center that have been looking at this disease for a little bit of time now, and they've been able to see through mouse models that they can use a technology with gene therapy that can cure mice. So our goal is to bring that therapy to life with patients who have SMARD and, of course, NASH.
You mentioned earlier just the concept of trying to get the medical community's attention on this because there were a lot of false diagnoses or right. Going the wrong direction. Parental involvement, because you see this from patient to patient. A lot of people talk about this in the medical community that, you know, that doctors are misdiagnosing and until they keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing, it's not until the second or third time around. Has that been the case with you guys in the way that it's really been on you guys to push past the diagnosis and push to what might be a cure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so this is actually when we had gotten the diagnosis, I understand that it would be very hard to diagnose this because it is so rare and nobody's ever seen it before. Statistically, the geneticist, when we had gotten the diagnosis, told me that it was five times more likely that we would win the lottery than you would even meet somebody with, right? Like, I could have won the lottery.
It's just insane.
It's insane. Well, even more insane, it's not just to have a child with this, but to meet somebody who has this mutation. So Bobby and I met when we were in high school, right? And it's like, did this mutation like bring us together? Or it's just weird. We've been together for 10 years before we got married. Now we've been together for 20 years. His sisters don't have this mutation, but he and I, we're not really not right. related, you know?
Right.
So I understand the rarity of not being able to diagnose this. And especially when, like Nash, he hasn't presented in the traditional way. So it makes it even more difficult. But yes, we have pushed so hard. To answer your question, we've pushed really hard. Like I said, we've seen 100 specialists at this point.
That's an important message, too, for people to get. Because nobody will advocate harder for your kid than you. And, yeah, the doctor went to medical school, and God bless him. And the hospital is a great place, and they do all the research. But unless you're fighting for your kid... I mean, if you think the answer shouldn't be no, don't take no for an answer.
Absolutely.
When I tell a lot of people this every day, especially moms with their children, is if their gut is telling them something...
It means something.
And be sure to ask and challenge until you feel comfortable and confident with the answer that you
receive.
And
don't let your husband challenge you in the beginning. Because I got a lot of pushback from him, too. You know, and he's right. That's one of the biggest talking points for us, too, is that... I talk to so many moms now that are on these different Facebook groups that are looking for somebody to help support them through these things, and that is one of my biggest passions, because a lot of people don't know that they can say no, that they do have
right.
a voice.
And you don't even know you can question yeah. what you're
so
being
told. So this is
exactly.
the type of thing, too, that's brutal on a relationship. I mean, you know, it tears marriages and families apart. So
only
you know.
For like a week, because I set him straight. And now...
You're smart enough to listen. No, but I'm giving you guys credit. I mean, you know, because you got to work as a team, and sometimes that's awfully hard to do.
Yeah, we definitely have played each other. He's my strengths are his weaknesses, and vice versa. So it's worked out really
right.
well.
So where are we with a cure? And you talked about the hospital in Columbus, but where are we in genetic therapy and a cure?
So we are right now every day pretty much. I'm in communication with a researcher at Nationwide Children's. We're also working with a lab in Italy so that we make sure, because this disease is so.
Tell me why Italy?
Because we want to make sure that patients overseas get treatment.
Okay.
So
they've done the research in SMART disease,
and okay. they've actually put out a paper that shows a 450% recovery. I think I said this earlier. 450% recovery in the disease. So not just like wherever you're at. You would recover 450% and improve your life 450%. But where we are right now is that we're in mouse models. After mice, we will go to a non-human primate, and in the that's where the money starts coming in and creating the actual, it's called a vector, that they use in the clinic to put into humans. That's where all this money comes in that we need. But we are making our way slowly to the non-human primate. So to a monkey, they do not infect the mm-hmm. monkeys with the disease. They just see what non-human primates can tolerate as
what
far
they can
as
tolerate,
exactly.
Yeah. What, and you mentioned also off the air that the nice thing about what they're working on, it's not just SMARD specific. It looks like they'd be able to use it across a few of these rare diseases, which makes it more powerful as far as funding or interest, you know, from different groups collaborating.
Well, so the virus, I was telling you this yesterday, they use the common cold virus to inject, it's called AAV9, they use the common cold virus, they inject it into spinal fluid, and they basically attach a healthy copy of whatever gene it is that is being affected, they attach it to the common cold virus, they inject it into your spine, and it infects all of your cells. And then that's how you have the reversal of the disease.
Help me understand that. So by putting that in your body, it fires up your immune system to go after what it needs to go after?
So we had to make sure, we just had a test done recently that showed that Nash is not immune to the common cold, which is one of the reasons that we decided not to bring him here today, because if he does become affected, if he does get AAV9, which is adenovirus type 9, if he becomes affected by that, his body will reject the good gene, because what they do is, so let's just say you have a ruler mm-hmm. and you have a pencil, and you take them and you merge them together mm-hmm. and you want them to go into your body. If your body is going to reject the ruler, the pencil's not going to make it.
Do you know, right.
You made the right call. You made the right call.
Right.
I'd love to meet him, but you made the right call.
Right. So if he was immune to the adenovirus, it would just kick out the bat. What it does is it takes a good copy and it infects with the cold virus. It infects all of your cells, and then it gives you a healthy copy.
You never thought you'd have to have a medical degree.
I've never passed a biology or chemistry class.
And here, and
not
here you
kidding
are
you.
As a doctor without the paper.
I don't even need to go to med school. I'm just kidding.
I tell you, you guys are amazing. I salute your strength. It's amazing. And your big old smiles. And I'm sure, you know, you're obviously great mom and dad. So we want a lot of people to show up for this event. And you can donate online. I just did it myself while we were talking.
Oh, thank you.
Hashtag SmashSmart and SmashSmartChallenge. Again, donate on the website or sign up there March 16th, right?
March 16th at Spirit Training Center. We'd love to see you out and help us smash SMART again.
Yes.
Keep us up to date on what's happening.
Thank you.
And
so
guys, we love the pie challenges. They bring us so much joy. We show Nash the videos, and he watches with Blake, and they just die laughing. So keep it up.
We laugh all night.
Keep donating. Lourdes accepted the challenge. I haven't checked in on the others. Lourdes Duarte from Channel 9.
Yes. And then Annabelle Val, I think she accepted it, but she had the flu, so she was waiting until she was healthy. But I know I just saw Ryan Cheverini did it. And so, you know, he's a pretty boy.
Right, much like
myself. Everyone enjoyed. Val enjoyed smushing.
Oh,
yes, much like yourself. I know people confuse you guys.
Yeah. Same guy. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Give both boys a hug from us.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the support.
God
thank
bless you,
for the
you
time.
Both.
Thank you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
How much money do you think you'll need in retirement?
Not much. 105? 500? A lot. If you have kids and all that, they're very important. Thousands of bucks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You know, it's going to cost more than thousands of bucks. You got to make sure your bucks are in order so you have thousands and thousands and thousands. Bill Geiger's here. Nice to see you, as always.
Good to be here, sir. Thank you.
Geiger Wealth Management. Give him the phone number.
630-866-6900.
All right, so let's talk here for a second. If there's one thing you've drummed into my large melon, if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, you better have a plan.
You know, Steve, I can't emphasize how important that is. It's really important to take control of your future. You need to understand how much risk you really have, how much you're going to need to retire, how much income you're going to have, and it's really time to put together a real plan so you do have some control over your retirement.
What's a plan look like? I mean, what would be in the plan for a client?
Well, the first thing is you better understand exactly what it is you own, how much fees you're paying, what kind of risk you have. Let me tell you a couple quick stories.
Sure.
Last week, we had a couple come in that had some variable annuities. Now, a variable annuity is just an annuity with mutual funds in it, basically. And they'd had them for over 20 years, and they thought everything was running just fine. We made one phone call on a speakerphone to the corporate office of the variable annuity company. We found out over the last 20 years, they had paid over $400,000 in fees.
In 20 years?
In 20 years. They bought somebody a house, and they never had a clue. It's not on their statement. They didn't even know the right questions to ask. I've been doing this for 35 years. I know the right questions to ask. And the crazy thing is, had I told them that, they would have never believed me in a million years. But hearing it come from the horse's mouth.
Right? I just did some quick math in my head. Is that $2,000 a month for 20 years in fees?
Well, it's over $20,000 a year in fees.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And they didn't have a clue this is happening. Here's another example of this, of not having a real plan. We had a couple came in, and coincidentally, they had a variable annuity also. And we called on theirs, and we found out they had an absolutely phenomenal lifetime income guarantee. Wonderful. On the husband's life, but not on the wife's.
Why'd that happen?
Way back when, the broker checked the wrong box when he was signing them up.
Come on.
And all these years, they thought they were both covered.
Thought they were set.
They thought they were set. They thought everything was okay. But if the husband predeceases the wife will have no guarantees. She may not even have any money, period.
And they may not even have known that if they didn't sit down and go over it.
Well, they wouldn't
have. By the way, this isn't a knock on variable annuities.
No, it's not.
Because variable annuities managed properly, you're a fan of, right?
If you get the right ones, the right fee structure, and they're set up correctly, they can work well for you. But these weren't. And had they not come in and got a second opinion on their, quote, air fingers, quote, plan, they would have never known this.
Wow.
Now, it's fixable. In both cases, this is fixable. We can't get back the $400,000, the house that they bought for somebody, but they don't have to do that going forward.
So the situation is fairly obvious here, and that is you need to know how much risk you have, but you also need to know what little mistakes might be involved in this stuff, because it's not as easy as opening your statement every month.
Well, it's not. You know, I shouldn't have to be a brain surgeon, right?
I'm not, by the way.
I'm not either. And people shouldn't have to be investment experts, but they should have a plan that they really understand some basics. How much risk they have, how much they're paying for this investments, and perhaps most importantly, where's the income going to come from? Do they have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of their life? There's three big goals of all these years that you're saving money. Number one is live a comfortable lifestyle in retirement. Number two is be able to sleep at night the next time the market takes a big crash. And number three is leave something for the kids. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
But it's simple as that in those words. You have to do the part now. You, the client,
yes.
Potential client, you have to do the part where you gather up your things, make the appointment, and come in and see you guys.
Yeah. And along that line, you know, we normally have a $500,000 minimum.
Uh-huh.
And we offer five complimentary appointments on the show. We've been getting a lot of calls to the office talking about whether we can do something a little bit less than that.
Okay.
For today, we're going to do something special. If you have $250,000 or up in your portfolio, call in. We're going to give you a complimentary, full-blown retirement plan. It's a $3,000 value.
That's great.
And we're going to help you take control of your future.
800-681-2498. And I'll repeat that in just a second for you. Justin, what were you going to ask?
Bill, there are a couple of stories that came out this week just about baby boomers. And here we go with people retiring and even in some cases retiring early.
Yes.
But there's going to be a mass influx of people who are leaving the workforce. Will that have any impact on what is offered to them? Will the industry change as more and more Americans retire?
You know, I see a lot of people that want to retire early. And some of them can, but some of them, you know, they've got $500,000 and they want to live on $100,000 a year.
Mm.
And I know better than this. My English is better than this, but it ain't going to work.
Right.
And you really need an income plan. You need to understand whether you have enough to retire. And if you can, God bless.
Right. Do you, as someone who's been in the business as long as you have, though, will there be a point when you have this, when more people enter retirement than ever have before, that the industry has to adjust to that, meaning that the fees have to go down or products need to be diversified or so on and so forth?
What we're really finding in real life, sir, is that people are working longer than traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 65, you dropped your tools and you walked out of the door. We're seeing people work in their late 60s, in the 70s. I sat down with an HR, the head of an HR department of a large Chicago company about a month ago. And he told me a story about a guy who retired in 2007 at 65 years old. The market crashed. In 2009, they hired him back at the age of 67 now, and he's still working for them. He's 77 years old, trying to be able to retire, but he had lost so much because he wasn't set up right. He had too much risk, and he's still working. 77 years old.
So
it's crazy.
If there's one word we want you to take out of this, it's P-L-A-N.
Plan. Get a plan. Get a real honest-to-God plan. Get a second opinion. Make sure, even if you think you're on the right track, make sure that you're on the right track.
And so, the answer probably, if it's, you know, like, oh, we waited too long and now we haven't planned, the solution isn't to just not plan then either.
No, do you what know? You can.
Yeah, start today. Now.
Today is, you know, today's the beginning of the rest of your life, right?
Right. So do what you can today to fix it and sit down with your folks.
Yes, sir.
I want to remind them, too, what you just brought up, because it's a good opportunity for folks to get in. If you're confident you're doing everything you can, everything that should be done for retirement, I would still encourage you to pick up the phone and make sure your ducks are all in a row, because those two stories you told,
they thought they were set. Yeah.
Bill Geiger and his team at Geiger Wealth can help you answer the questions you need to have answered. Here's the special opportunity Bill mentioned a moment ago. Up to a $3,000 value, complimentary, full financial workup. He'll look at your portfolio. He'll look at your statements. He'll look at all of it. He'll give it the full private eye treatment and figure out how you're doing and what you're doing and, well, maybe how you can do it better. 800-681-2498. Remember what Bill always says? You can't be in your late 50s or early 60s and have a 2007-2008. You don't have time to make it up.
No, you don't.
800-681-2498. Together with you, Bill and the team are going to translate the complex financial planning process into easy to understand steps. Give them the number again.
And Steve, I want to reiterate, we're doing this for $250,000 and up today.
Right.
Okay.
Take advantage of it today.
Take advantage of it. 800-681-2498.
Get on it right now.
Yes, sir.
Right. Get on the phone, 800-681-2498. And, Bill, always great seeing you.
Good seeing you,
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bill and Wendy coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Remember when Keith Olbermann used to do that feature, The Worst Person in the World?
I do.
How about a guy that stole $600 in Girl Scout cookies from a cookie stand? I mean, money, not Girl Scout cookies. Took the money.
He took the
that,
cash?
That's the bad. The cookies would have been fine.
Seattle is where this happened. Jennifer Johnson, one of the two adults who was helping supervise, said this particular person came by a couple times, kept asking about the cookies, bought the cookies, came back 5 minutes later, wanted to return them, wanted his money back, and before they could go for the money back and they were stacking up the cookies, he took the cash box and he ran. I mean, you want to fast track to hell. Come on.
Stealing from the big man that is the Girl Scouts organization. The man.
That was last weekend. The theft there was on the heels of Oak Cliff, a suburb of Dallas, where two girls, how about this picture? Two girls are pulling their wagon filled with $250 of Girl Scout cookies around to the neighbors to sell them. The guy comes up, steals the wagon, and runs away.
You know what? These are life lessons, Steve. You know, the Girl Scouts, they got to understand, they can't leave that money open. They can't keep it on a wagon.
Self-defense.
They got to get a lockbox, and they got
to protect
that stuff.
So you're saying maybe there ought to be a badge, a Girl Scout badge for jiu-jitsu?
Safes, a money scheme, maybe
Girl Scout plastic.
I'm just saying. What's really hot right now is the hip sacks are back.
Yeah, there you go.
The fanny pack, so that the money stays.
A money clip?
When I was at the Super Bowl party this year, the person holding all the money for the squares had the fanny pack on, so that way the money stayed right next to their hip.
Right, you're not catching a guy who's running a casino with all the cash in a wagon.
Yep.
You know, behind him. I'm just saying, there's services for that, Girl Scouts.
Or if they go cashless.
Hey, you know, it works for
Venmo me or whatever.
Works for the downtown.
PayPal.
Frou-frou places, right?
Yeah. Bill and Wendy next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be right after this. Looking to win a free mortgage payment? That's right, kids, a free mortgage payment. You need to enter the Hochberg Mortgage Payment Sweepstakes. Team Hochberg's getting all over that. If you own a primary residence in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, or Iowa, Team Hochberg wants to pay your mortgage. Not making it up! Team Hochberg wants to pay that mortgage. Entry's free. You can't win if you don't enter. You go to this registering website, 56david.com. All the rules can be found at 56david.com/sweepstake rules. What are you waiting for? Stop what you're doing right now. Bill, stop what you're doing right now.
Is this a contest?
This is a sweepstake.
Oh, it's a sweepstakes.
Totally different.
It sounds like a contest.
No.
But it is not.
Totally different.
Sweepstakes.
Team Hochberg helped me and thousands of WGN listeners help Wendy. But Bill, yes. Has Team Hochberg helped you?
Not in any way, no.
What about emotionally?
Emotionally, absolutely.
Yeah. In time of need, you've had a chance
to turn to him.
He is sensitive. Team Hochberg, they're ready to help you too right now, but they can't pay your mortgage if you don't register to win at 56davidwin.com. For Homeside Financial, an equal housing lender, Illinois residential mortgage licensee, MB 676-1019, NMLS number 1124061.
New voices, new perspectives, new platforms.
WGN+.
WGN Radio's been around for 95 years.
WGN.
And we're still growing up. WGN Radio in 2019. 95 years young.
I'm Tom Kalish from Kane 11 Socks. Whether it's technology or products that make our lives more comfortable, innovation is constantly improving everything. But socks, they haven't changed in 50 years. Traditional sock brands make socks in one size fits all, or just a couple of sizes to fit every size foot. At Kane 11, we think it's time somebody innovated the sock industry. So we make socks in 11 individual sizes, from 7 to 17, to fit each size foot perfectly. You won't believe what wearing a pair of socks in your exact size feels like until you try them. It's quite remarkable. After all, your feet hold up your whole body, and the better your socks fit, the better your feet are going to feel all day. Our socks are crafted in the USA with fine-gauge merino wool and the perfect weight and cushioning. And our styles? Well, they're designed to work with anything you wear. So step up to the next innovation and try a pair of Kane 11s. See what Esquire, Men's Health, and Golf Digest are all raving about.
Save 20% off your first order at Kane11.com. That's K-A-N-E-1-1.com. Kane11.com.
Hi. It's just a skosh past 10 o'clock. I'm sorry you guys weren't here earlier when we were talking about the Bears' new kicker, Chris Blewett. Good, Chris?
It's Chris.
Chris Blewett.
Chris Blewett.
You knew it when.
Yeah. John, do you want to make Blewett part of the spelling bee?
Yes.
We're starting to get syndicate this misspelling.
I like it.
These are very difficult words, and the first person that spells one correctly, they get easier round by round.
Oh.
Is a winner. You want to throw one at us?
I will throw. Tchotchka. People think it's pronounced tchotchke. It's tchotchka.
So like Joni and tchotchka.
Joni and tchotchka.
Okay, tchotchka. Bill.
T. Just T.
Oh, just T. That's it? That's the entire spelling?
Yeah.
Can I try?
Yeah, go ahead.
C-Z-A-C-H-K-A.
Oh, that was good.
No, that's good. That's not even close, but it's good.
That's Tchotchka. C-H-O-T-C-H-K-A. Yeah, Tchotchka.
That's what I would go with.
Spell it again.
C-H-O-T-C-H-K-A. Tchotchka.
Close.
Mm. Yeah. How about if I put an R in there? Krotchka.
There's three Z's in there, so you just got to get the Z's in there.
There's no Z's?
There isn't a Z?
Karim, do you want to take a shot?
If there's no Z, I'm really not
Justin?
There. C-Z-O-C.
I was with T-A.
Yeah.
Tchotchka. Okay. Actual spelling is?
T-T-C-H.
Bill wins.
I wasn't done.
C-H-K-E. Yes, Bill, I thought he was going.
Oh, I'm still going.
You're not the dumbest guy in the room.
Using mainly spoons.
Thanks for all your submissions in regards to the Bears' new kicker. It's hard to pick the best of them, but a urogynecologist named Dr. Moon was certainly up there. Doctor doing a colonoscopy called Dr. Ream. You're all claiming these are actual doctor names, like Blewett. And somebody wants to hear a new postgame on WGN with Butkus and Blewett. Butkus and Blewett. They're automatically assuming that Blewett's not going to be on the team. And I can tell you right now, he's not going to be on the team. So, what are you kids doing today?
Tim Kavanaugh will be here.
He's such a jerk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
John, I feel the same way about Tim Kavanaugh that I do about Amy Schumer.
Oh, no. Spell Kavanaugh.
Tim Kavanaugh. You know,
T-C-H.
Let me test him right now. If Kavanaugh would drop the violent blue material on his act.
I get it. You're right.
Tim Kavanaugh is one of the best people.
Well, he was scheduled. I don't know that he was probably listening.
He's great. I'm kidding.
All right.
So that's coming up. See you guys. Well, let's come back tomorrow.